American Architectural Glass in Fort Loramie completed major glass installation for the University of Kentucky Soccer Complex.
At Kentucky, we strive to be the best in everything that we do, from the outside and the inside, and American Architectural Glass provided that for us.
Your commercial and industrial glass connection is AAG.
They were able to put in really nice structures from the bottom up. They were able to put really nice glass doors in, and I think one of the biggest parts of our complex has been the field level windows that they installed down on the playing surface, so that our teams can watch from inside their team lounge. And that's been a really big sell in recruiting. It looks nice and it's very well done.
UK's soccer complex is one of the best in the nation, thanks to AAG.
It absolutely was. You know, the work that was done by American Architectural Glass was extremely high quality.
Ohio State, Miami University, and the University of Findlay are also satisfied customers of AAG. American Architectural Glass. AAGinc.com.
This very popular location for out-of-this-world food is right in between Botkin's, Anna, New Bremen, and Jackson Center. But people come from towns everywhere.
My husband and I have heard about In-Between's great reputation for years. We finally drove up to the In-Between Tavern from 30 miles away late last year and have been here several times since.
And you, too, will return to the In-Between for out-of-this-world chops, steaks, fish, chicken, and more.
I've been eating fried chicken at restaurants for nearly 20 years, and the In-Between has the very, very best chicken I think I've ever had.
Your whole family will like the In-Between.
Tonight, seven of us, including five children, ate delicious pizza for less than $30. That's a super value.
At the In-Between, watch your favorite game on TV. In-Between those tasty bites.
The food at the In-Between is just out of this world.
At the south edge of Botkin's, 25 and 274. Street sweepers and snow removers. For such equipment, a local employer manufactures quality replacement parts used across the nation. Close to home, Local Equipment extends to students at Jackson Center High School the opportunity for a quality college education.
We know the importance of educating right now our future workforce and community leaders.
Local's Roger Dietrich.
That's why we support Jackson Center High School with scholarships so students can go on and learn career skills.
Jackson Center students and their student athletes have benefited greatly from Local Equipment for their scholarships. These student athletes have completed their degrees at universities and have started outstanding careers.
Local began in L.A., California. It moved to Shelby County in 1982, and the community and Jackson Center students are proud.
Thanks so much to Local for supporting Jackson Center High School.
We are Local Equipment.
A big reason why Shelby County is a great place to call home.
Have you been considering LED lighting but feeling confused? Our talented team at Dickman Supply can answer all your questions about LED lighting and get confusion out of the game. We can help with the design and retrofits, plus even with obtaining all eligible utility rebates. Call the Dickman Supply Green Team or contact our lighting departments in Sydney, Greenville, Salina, and Marysville. Dickman Supply, the largest Eaton electrical distributor in West Central Ohio.
Go to Goffney for quality furniture priced just right. You see, the Goffney Furniture and Mattress Center in Sydney has you covered with the very best furniture for your dining and living areas, adult and kids' bedrooms, home office and entertainment spaces, and much, much more. Goffney's new innovative support report system can help you find the perfect fitting mattress and make sure you take advantage of the five-star white glove delivery. Visit our beautiful showroom with hundreds of room layouts. New inventory of furniture is always on display. That's Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A furniture.com, 2600 West Michigan in Sydney. Go Goffney.
Can I get a big boy with crispy bacon and a fried egg? That's genius. Let's call that the farmhouse boy.
Hey, could I get the same thing with sausage patties instead of beef patties?
Done and done. That's the breakfast boy.
What about a big boy with green leaf lettuce, tomatoes, and red onions?
We'll call that the deluxe big boy.
You ask, we make. New members of the big boy family now available.
All at your local Frisch's, home of burgers, breakfast, and big boy.
What's your favorite thing at Frisch's in Troy, Tip City, and Sydney? Get connected to your VA benefits. Chris North of Shelby County served 4 years in the U.S. Navy. Chris is your Shelby County Veteran Services Commission officer.
If you are a veteran or a surviving spouse of a veteran, or even if you know a veteran, we want to connect you to your benefits. That can easily be done by calling us at 937-498-7282. 498-7282.
Or go to facebook.com/ShelbyCOVSO or call 498-7282. The Shelby County Veteran Services Commission. We're vets serving vets.
It's the most valued insurance agency in the region. Barker Insurance is number one again, according to newspaper surveys. Barker Insurance tailors auto, home, farm, business, or life insurance programs just for you. With plans through Erie, Buckeye, Progressive, Ohio Mutual, and others, your coverage meets your needs when served by Barker Insurance. And that's for sure. Barker Insurance. North County Road 25A in Sydney. Phone 492-1857.
Brookins in Fort Loramie is well known for its juicy roasted chicken dinners, plus many savory sandwiches and cheesy and meaty homemade pizza. The special on Saturday nights features not one, but two delicious 8-ounce marinated pork chops.
New owner Carl Arnes creates a fun, family-friendly atmosphere. Brookins is perfect for birthdays, anniversaries, and more. The banquet room seats up to 60.
You can also enjoy the new late-night menu, open till 2:30 in the morning, Thursday through Saturday.
You can't beat Brookins at 10 Elm Street in Fort Loramie.
Brookins, B-R-U-C-K-E-N-S pub.com.
Early in her freshman basketball season in 2016, Fort Loramie's Marissa Meiring suffered a serious knee injury. But in just 6 months, thanks to Wilson Health Sports Medicine, Marissa, now a senior, was healthy and back in the game. Listen now to another Wilson Health Sports Medicine success story, as told by Marissa's parents, Betsy and Kevin Meiring.
It was practice on December 15th when our daughter Marissa went down with a knee injury. Wilson Health Sports Medicine stepped in, assessed the knee injury as a complete ACL tear and a meniscus tear. It was a little devastating to hear as she started off her freshman year so strong.
However, Ryan Castle, Wilson Health Sports Medicine athletic trainer, played a major role in Marissa's full recovery.
There's so many great things that I can say about Ryan. He was just fantastic. He was there supporting Marissa every step of the way, from her injury to the assessment to surgery to rehab, all the way to her full recovery.
And successful surgery on Marissa's knee was performed by orthopedic surgeon Dr. Matthew Heckler.
Marissa's surgeon, Dr. Heckler, was terrific. We had full confidence in him. He was just so compassionate and caring toward Marissa. I'll never forget the day in his office when he gave her the diagnosis of the ACL tear. Of course, she was in tears, and Dr. Heckler handed her a box of Kleenex and said, "It's going to be okay. I'm going to get you fixed up and we'll get you back on the court."
Marissa responded. After a solid sophomore basketball season, she excelled as a junior. She was named Girls Shelby County Player of the Year, First Team All Southwest District, and Special Mention All Ohio.
We're so thankful for Wilson Health Sports Medicine.
Keeping athletes healthy and in the game.
This is Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System.
And good evening, everyone, and welcome to high school football here tonight on ScoresBroadcast.com. Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System. Tonight we come to you live from Sydney's Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field, for a Miami Valley League contest between the Sydney High Yellow Jackets and the Fairborn Skyhawks. Good evening, everyone. I'm Jeff Bray, along with Mike Wick, and we're glad you could join us tonight for high school football. Beautiful night outside. It's more like football weather after dealing with a lot of 80s and 90s lately, and several lightning delays throughout the first half of this year. I don't think we have any chance of that tonight. Partly cloudy skies, a nice cool fall crisp air, and temperatures right now 59 degrees, more like football weather should be in west central Ohio at this time of year. We'd like to thank our sponsors for bringing you tonight's game here on scoresbroadcast.com. American Architectural Glass in Fort Laramie. Barker Insurance on the north edge of Sydney, south of Anna on Route 25A. Local Equipment in Jackson Center, a Scores founding partner. U.S. Bank with 29 branch locations in its western Ohio district. Wilson Health Sports Medicine in Sydney. And the Sydney Daily News with the best sports coverage around. Additional underwriting sponsors here on scoresbroadcast.com. Brookins in Fort Laramie. There's no good eating place quite like it. Custom Foam Products in Fort Laramie, a world-class supplier. Clancy's Restaurant in Sydney, nothing fancy, just fantastic food. And also thank you to Dickman Electrical and Industrial Supplies with locations in Sydney, Salina, Greenville, and Marysville. Thank you also to Frisch's in Troy, Tip City, and Sydney. Frisch's, what's your favorite thing? John Hip Energy in Sydney, John always gives you his best shot. The In-Between, just south of Botkins, where the food is not in between, it's out of this world. Also thanks to the Shelby County Veteran Services Commission, Vets Helping Vets. Get connected to your benefits. Call Chris North at 937-498-7282 or go to facebook.com/ShelbyCOVSO. Also a big thank you to a new sponsor, Maury's Landing Restaurant on Route 362 in Mensor, just across from Lake Laramie. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner, it's Maury's. Regal Trophy and Awards in Sydney on Wapakoneta Avenue at RegalTrophiesAward.com. Regal for the crowning touch. Also, thank you to Dan Eilerman Construction in Fort Laramie. The Eilerman team of Mark, Scott, and Nick continue their father's legacy of quality craftsmanship. Scores would also like to thank these Rushi sponsors for making tonight's game possible, the Francis Schulze Company and Superior Aluminum. Thank you, Francis Schulze and Superior. Plus the Jewelry Barn in Rushi. Let's make your gift ideas come to life at the Jewelry Barn, the gem of Rushi. In addition, these Anna sponsors, Wells Brothers Inc., which includes 8 growing divisions. These other sponsors are also online with us all season long on scoresbroadcast.com with coverage of the Fort Laramie games. Geyer's Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram with customer service with a smile since 1922. Also, thank you to M&A Muffler and Tires, a tire sale you'll never get tired of. And Tom and Jerry's Plumbing, Electric, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Place your confidence in Mike Holdhouse and Tom Timmerman, and you can find them on the web at TomJerry's.com. Well, beautiful evening here in Sydney, Ohio. High school football, just the way it should be on a Friday night. Tonight's opponent for the Sydney Yellow Jackets, the Fairborn Skyhawks. These two teams play in the newly reconstructed Miami Valley League. There is quite a history that goes back, though, between Sydney and Fairborn when it comes to football. Since 2010, Sydney and Fairborn have met 5 times on the gridiron. Sydney has won 3 of those 5 contests. Fairborn edged Sydney 7-6 in 2010, and then thumped Sydney 56-14 in 2011, but then the Jackets rolled to wins over Fairborn in 2014, 2015, and 2018 by scores of 35-12, 47-33, and 40-12. This current 2019 season, though, marks the second straight season that the clubs play head-to-head. The two schools' football series continues its annual contest next year when the new Miami Valley League is fully launched with all 10 schools playing each other once in football and twice in basketball. So the 2019-2020 school year represents a transitional period for the new league's formation. From 1975 to 1981, Sydney played both Fairborn Baker and Fairborn Park Hills, back when they had the separate schools, when all 3 schools played in the Miami Central Conference. During the 1950s and part of the 1960s, Sydney played Fairborn High, the lone high school in that community, when both were in the old Miami Valley League. And then in their final year, as members of the old Miami Valley League back in 1963, Sydney defeated Fairborn 28-13. Fairborn then left the Miami Valley League and went to the Western Ohio League. Fairborn had beaten Sydney 6-0 back in 1954 when the two schools were together in the old Miami Valley League for the first time. Speaking of the new Miami Valley League, It includes these teams. They're divided into two divisions, the Miami Division and the Valley Division. The Miami Division includes Piqua, Troy, Tip City, Vandalia, Butler, and Greenville, while the Valley Division includes Sydney, Fairborn, Stebbins, Xenia, and West Carrollton. So a transitional year this year. Some of the teams do have contractual obligations that they had to finish out as far as their schedule goes, but the new MVL schedule, including all the teams, will kick into full gear next year, starting with the 2020 season. The Sydney Yellow Jackets come into tonight's game at 1-4 on the season, and the Fairborn Skyhawks at 2-3. After playing extremely well in the second half of the first two games versus St. Mary's and Bell Fountain, the Sydney Yellow Jackets since have been erratic and have not played a clean game offensively. But Coach Dungy said his team continues to perform pretty well defensively and is also getting healthier. He and Jack Kramer talked this week about the progress of the Yellow Jackets in that impressive shutout win over Dayton Belmont just 3 weeks ago.
We covered the Sydney-Dayton-Belmont game, your victory to date. Highlight that contest. Your defense was on the field 80% of the game. It played extremely well, shut out Belmont. You had a few scoring opportunities, could have put 21 points on the board. Had to be pleased with that game, especially considering how well your defense performed.
Yeah, no, I was pretty proud of our defense that game, and offensively, we just weren't consistent. We're not playing very clean offense, and that kind of started with that game right there. As far as keeping the ball off the ground, the interceptions have been at a minimum compared to last year too. And we've been pretty good handling the ball the last few years, but whatever reason this year we've got a little bit of an issue of holding on to the ball, and part of that has to be with some young guys who are not used to the varsity level. It's a learning curve. When you're running with the ball at the freshman level or junior high, it's a little bit easier to be lazy, I guess, for lack of a better word, with that ball. When you get to high school and you got 18, 19-year-old kids punching at that football, we got to be a little bit sturdier holding on to those balls. So, but yeah, with that Belmont game, pretty proud of the defense. They were on the field a lot. We weren't able to sustain long drives and take our own time off the clock on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, when we did have some big plays, it was usually followed up by a bonehead play that put us in a bad situation where it was a holding call and put us at first and 20 or putting the ball on the ground.
Injuries. I just got off the phone with Spencer Wells, head coach at Fort Loramie. He's got a list that's 15 long. 8 or 9 starters won't go this Friday night, and that bug has hit Sydney High School too.
Yeah, you know, it's the nature of the game. We've been pretty good the last few years with injuries, and we take a lot of pride with what we do with our kids in the weight room and stretching and how we handle some of that kind of stuff. But, you know, broken bones and those kind of things, you can't fix that. There's nothing you can do in the weight room for that. And we do have some ligament type stuff that's happening this year to us, so I guess maybe that's just karma coming around to us. We've been pretty good the last few years with injuries, and you know, that's the nature of the game, and you got to keep working. You know, there's only so many reps you can do in a week, so you try to get your backup kids some reps, but you still got to focus on your first string guys. But when an injury does happen, you hope that second team guy can go in there and still produce. So it's that time of year when you're at week 5, week 6, you know, those kind of things start rearing their ugly head, and you hope that things that you've done the previous 2 months, that those kids can step up and still produce for you.
EJ Davis, a day-by-day, practice-by-practice yep. situation leading up to the game against Fairborn.
Yeah, you know, he's got a bruised knee, I guess, for lack of a better word. The joints are just kind of bruised. So it's nothing big. It's not a, you know, came back, nothing with the meniscus or the ACL or the MCL or anything like that. He's just got a little banged-up knee that we got to kind of battle through. And, you know, it's like I said, it's that time of year where everyone's going to have some hurts and injuries. And, you know, you can play through the hurts, but you can't play through the injuries. So it's kind of that fine line of figuring out what you got, and you trust your medical staff. We trust our school trainer Beth Dankelsfin and the people that we send them to, and we send them over to Wilson. They do a great job with our kids, so you keep going with that, and you hope for the best.
Yeah, highlight the growth of your offensive line. It's youthful. You've got a nice mix of young men up front.
Yep.
And I've been impressed with the way they are starting to gel and come together.
Yeah, it's a tough, you know, when you only have one senior on that line, and even that senior, he didn't play last year on the offensive line. So we've got a senior who's new to playing offensive line at the varsity level. And then you've got two juniors and then you have two sophomores. So, you know, they've taken their lumps a little bit. But they're big, strong kids. They love to learn. They love to get better each day. Our run game's been pretty decent. Pass protection, you know, they got to continue to improve upon that. And that gets to be a little bit more difficult when you're kind of retreating and guys can make moves on you and they can come at different angles and all that kind of stuff. But I've been proud of those guys' development, and it's exciting to know that, you know, we're going to have four of those five guys back next year and moving forward. But we still got five games to play this year, and those guys are going to continue to get better for us.
Sure, sure. Adam Dungis, head coach of Sydney, before tonight's game between the Sydney Yellow Jackets and the Fairborn Skyhawks, who are a much improved club over recent years.
Yeah, new coach, new staff. I've liked what they've done over there. You know, they got a returning quarterback that did nice things last year and has continued to do things. I think still leads our league in passing yards. And they got a really good junior linebacker on the other side of the ball in Hunter Warner, I think number 9. He's a really good football player. I know they take a lot of pride in what he's able to do. And, you know, we're going to see another 50 front like we did last week against Xenia, and that gave us a little bit of issues. So I guess the positive thing out of last week is we can clear up some mistakes that we saw on the 50 front and go at it again this week. But, you know, they do some nice things with their secondary. They got some nice players back there. And offensively, kind of a similar ball club to us. They just got a little bit taller quarterback that can kind of sling it around. He's been doing a nice job, and they got some good athletes on that side of the ball. So
Fairborn mixes in a variation of the wing T, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah, no, they present some problems. When you watch film, you watch one game, you're like, okay, kind of get a good feel. And you watch another game, it's a little bit different formation-wise and with a little bit different stuff in there. So, you know, they might be searching for a little bit of an identity, too, and what they believe they're good at. You know, we're kind of the same way on our offensive side of the ball. We got to find what we're good at. We did some nice things our first 2 weeks, and the last few weeks we've just had a tough time being consistent and getting the ball rolling a little bit. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with these two teams this week.
Hey, this is a renewal of sorts of a long-ago rivalry when Sydney played Baker in Park Hills back in the days of the old Miami Central Conference and then the old Miami Valley League. Mm-hmm. Years before that, it was Sydney-Fairborn playing each year in football for a decade or so. And every season from now on, until who knows, it's going to be Sydney-Fairborn on the gridiron.
No, it's a lot of that old history and tradition has come back. You know, Dave Ross wrote his book on the first 100 years of Sydney football, and it's, you know, you look back at that quite a bit, and just kind of when you get bored, you kind of start flipping through it, and you start seeing, like you said, the Bakers and the Park Hills, and then it turns into, you know, they merge their schools together, and, you know, you could tell there's some good battles back then, and there is a long-standing history there, and then things got away from each other for a little bit. Teams went a different direction and all that kind of stuff, and now we're back together, and it's good, because we're both similar communities. Just our dynamics and the socioeconomics of our communities and their school districts are similar in structure, so it's going to be a good thing to move forward with this rivalry.
As Jack and Coach Dungis said, Sydney and Fairborn will now play regularly for years to come in the revitalized Miami Valley League. The last time the teams met in the old MVL of nearly 50 years ago was way back in 1962, where Sydney won a dredge match by a score of 8-6. The clubs have played five times in the last 10 years. Sydney has won the last three. Randy Kearns is in his first year as a head coach at Fairborn. And since college, he has coached in Florida and in Indiana, the Hoosier State, and has had stops in Ohio at both National Trail and Swanton, which is located just west of Toledo. His current athletic director, Kevin Alexander, was with him at National Trail, and the Kearns-coached Swanton team advanced to the Division V playoffs 2 years ago. The 2019 Fairborn Skyhawks employ a variation of the wing T offense with a quick passing and wide running game, which Kern said he brought to Fairborn from his other coaching stints.
Been coaching since I graduated college. You know, spent a lot of time in Indiana, a year in Florida. Came back to Trail when that opened up. I graduated from National Trail, so when that opened up, took that. We struggled. I thought we were on the right track. You know, we changed the culture a little bit. Got some nice facilities going. And we did some nice things, and they're having a nice season this year. Swanton came open, and They had come off two back-to-back 10-2 seasons up there, so
wow.
I was in a similar offense to what I thought, what I was running, so I took that. We, lucky enough, first year to go 7-3, finished 7-4, made the D5 playoffs, lost to Eastwood, who was runner-up in the state that year. They were just a dominant, great team. Last year, I thought we were at least 500 good, and then all of a sudden, we were just, by week four, all four of our team captains were in khakis on the sidelines.
Wow.
So, I mean, we were just destroyed. I mean, guys that were out half a season or more, and we just never really could, you know, you go from playing a bunch of seniors to playing sophomores and a couple freshmen, and we really, you know, limped to the finish line there. But kids played hard all year, and they got better, so.
Injuries can tend to do that.
Brutal. I'd never seen anything like that, you know. It was, especially, you get that, even in most levels of high school, because of the depth now. It's one kid gets hurt, you struggle.
Right.
You're not the same team, but knew that many kids get hurt, you know, good players for you, you're really not the same team. So
yeah, fairly small high school programs, you may not have the roster to offset the loss of several starters.
You got mid-30s and maybe 40 players, you know. I think I had about 40 last year. But, yeah, you're into playing a lot of young kids. But
and you brought your wing T from Swanton here to Fairborn High School.
I did. Kevin contacted me last year, our athletic director, and I had worked for him. He was the athletic director of National Trail for my 2 years. So
right.
He contacted me, seeing if I was interested in the job. I liked the way our administration was talking, the things that they had planned. I still do, you know, so I thought we had the people to lead us in the future. And there's always been athletes here. There's always been guys that could play football and do some things here. It's just never been put together for one reason or another, outside of a handful of years. So I did. I took that, and it's been kind of a change in schemes, obviously. They've been a lot of spread stuff for years here. We wanted to simplify, make things even simpler for our guys and try to minimize the thinking aspect. And the wing T schemes are built on simplicity and using angles and things like that. So
mm-hmm.
That's kind of how I got here. Just got offered the job, accepted the job. So it's been moved in March. They were lucky enough to get me to school in March. So it's been hitting the ground running since then, man.
Hey, your offense is paced by the Miami Valley League passing leader, Garrison Sechrist. Talk about him, what he brings to the table, and your other offensive skill players.
Oh, yeah. Because of what he could do, and I knew that getting down here, is we've kind of hybrided, you know, my vision for the team as far as wing T is concerned versus with kind of what he does best and throw the football and some spread schemes, you know, quick plays, air raid style, one read, boom, boom, get rid of the ball, get the ball out. And he's done a great job picking that up. Been very efficient, almost 60% completions.
And no picks.
No, six touchdowns, has not turned the football over in the air. Put the ball on the ground a few times, too many times, but in the grand scheme of it, that's, you know, we've done a nice job with turnovers this year, and he's done a great job with that, of making sure we have a shot. You know, mm-hmm. if you turn the ball over, you really don't have a shot. So, but he's done a nice job. He's completed some deep balls lately, efficient, taking what defense has given him. We got some guys out there. Dwight Lewis is really coming on, number one, our wide receiver. Back-to-back great games. He had 90 yards against Greenville and didn't have a ton of receptions last week, but drew numerous pass interference penalties on him last week and blocked his butt off last week. So he's done a really good job.
Right.
Patrick Parrish got a 50-yard touchdown pass. He puts a speed dimension out there for us. Him and Dwight kind of rotate there at that X spot. Gage Barron has a game-breaking quickness at the wing for us. Mm-hmm. He finally got going. Our perimeter blocking last week, been waiting to get him going. He had over, I think, 140 yards last week. And then inside, Pudge Warner, Hunter Warner, they call him Pudge. Pudge Warner just runs so hard inside of fullback. I mean, it takes numerous guys to bring him down. He hits the hole hard. He's had back-to-back. He had 140 and 120 the last 2 weeks on, 18 to 19 carries.
Wow.
So,
wow.
But we're really starting to hit a stride. We struggled after Tecumseh. Bellbrook and Tip are great defensive teams, great coaches.
Mm-hmm.
But these last 2 weeks, I think we've starting to put things together a little bit.
Good. You mentioned Warner, mm-hmm. your number one fullback.
Right.
He is supported behind him by Hamilton.
Right.
Those two are outstanding junior middle linebackers.
Absolutely.
For you.
That's our defense has vastly improved. We're number, I think, third in the league in yards given up.
Yeah.
Only giving up about 15 points a game right now. We've had a shutout against Tecumseh. Most of the time we've done pretty, even against Bellbrook, we gave up 28 points, but we gave them the ball inside the 10 on a muffed punt, and they had a scoop and score. Our defense played really well. 7 to 14 points is what we should have given up. But Coach Mike Derry, our D coordinator, has done a heck of a job with that group, and that group's definitely, the inside linebackers are prized bulls, as I like to say. They are strong guys who are good discipline, and they hit people. You know, they're number 1 and 3 in the league in tackles right now.
Yes.
Numerous 15, 16 tackle games for both of those kids defensively. They've made up for a lot of mistakes so far, I think, just because of the quality of player they are.
Right.
While our DBs have started to come into their own at times, and our defensive line the last couple weeks has finally started to play up to our expectations. So.
Randy Kearns, head coach of Fairborn, our guest before tonight's game between Fairborn and Sydney. The Yellow Jackets offense has struggled the last 3 weeks. They've been hit by injury. What do you see on videotape of the Sydney Yellow Jackets you really like?
Well, it starts with that tailback, Davis. I think he was out. Did not play last week against Senior. But the guy they put in there had about 100 yards too. He was a big boy, 260-pound boy. But Davis is explosive, a game breaker. He's number 2 in the league in rushing, and he's had out a game. So he's averaging 9 yards a carry. That's scary. If we can't get all our guys to the football and bottle him up, he's gonna make us pay. Number 1 is Brown, a wide receiver, is explosive, quick player.
Yep.
He's scary too from him getting an open space, especially kick returns. He does a heck of a job with kick returns. But definitely those two are the top two offensive players to me that are very scary.
If you had to put your finger on one thing you need to do better as a team tonight in this game to win, what would it be?
For us, I think it's just execution up front.
Sure.
Because the 3-3 for them, I know they get up a lot of rushing yards, but they have faced some teams now, St. Mary's and Bell Fountain and Xenia, who put up 300 yards rushing on every team. Everybody would struggle with them. So the 3-3 stack is going to give us a different challenge because we've not faced it this year. So our kids are starting to get better up front blocking with the new offense, getting better blocking the 4-4 and the 5-2 that we see every week most of the time. But the stack's going to be a new beast for us. So execution against that front and against the box against Sydney was going to be huge for us.
And the Sydney High School Marching Band, along with hundreds of elementary students, are out on the field as we get ready for the start of tonight's game. Fairborn's head coach Randy Kearns pointed out in that interview with Jack Kramer that the effectiveness of his offensive line against the fast-developing Sydney defensive front may be the key to the outcome of this battle tonight here in Sydney. Fairborn has improved its ground game during the last two contests versus Greenville and Stebbins after a slow start of the season rushing the football. When we come back, we'll take a look at tonight's starting lineups. We'll have the kickoff and all the play-by-play for you. Sydney versus Fairborn. Stay with us. High school football here on scoresbroadcast.com.
Need the right solution for true comfort? Call Tom and Jerry's Plumbing, Electric, Heating, and Air Conditioning in Fort Loramie. Place your confidence in Mike Holthouse and Tom Timmerman at Tom and Jerry's, which is fully licensed and insured, meeting all state requirements for training and professionalism. It's family-owned and has built a quality name, one satisfied customer at a time. Tom and Jerry's Plumbing, Electric, Heating, and Air Conditioning on Dawson Road in Fort Loramie. Just visit TomJerry's.com.
Have you been considering LED lighting but feeling confused? Our talented team at Dickman Supply can answer all your questions about LED lighting and get confusion out of the game. We can help with the design and retrofits, plus even with obtaining all eligible utility rebates. Call the Dickman Supply Green Team or contact our lighting departments in Sydney, Greenville, Salina, and Marysville. Dickman Supply, the largest Eaton electrical distributor in West Central Ohio.
LaCal Equipment in Jackson Center markets in all 50 states and many foreign countries. We manufacture quality replacement parts for road and highway maintenance equipment. LaCalle supports the needs of the counties, states, and contractors all over the world. We operate from a facility spanning 83,000 square feet on Pike Street in Jackson Center. Since moving from L.A., California in 1982, LaCalle Equipment has called Shelby County its home. On the web at lacal.com.
And welcome back to Sydney Memorial Stadium 30-0 Field. Jeff Ray along with Mike Wick as we're pinch hitting tonight for Jack Kramer and Chuck McBee, who will be back with you next week from right here at Sydney as the Sydney Yellow Jackets will take on the Troy Trojans. Sydney's going to get the ball first on offense as Fairborn gets ready to kick off to the Yellow Jackets, kicking from the south to the north. And taking a look at the offense for the Yellow Jackets, they're led by quarterback Ryan Dunham. Running back E.J. Davis, who is a sensational sophomore. E.J., of course, had some injuries, but did practice all week, and I believe he'll be playing in tonight's game. Wideouts for the Yellow Jackets are Quamir Brown, Lathan Jones, and Darren Taborn. At tight end, you have Ryan Cagle and Jaden Swiger. The outside lineman is the Isaiah Huggins, along with Nick Benchoff. The center for the Yellow Jackets snapping the ball is Brian Jones. And the outside lineman for Sydney, Zane Snyder and Evan Kennedy. Fairborn will be on defense first with linebackers Landon Crawl, Corinne Brunette, along with inside linebackers Hunter Warren and Cam Hamilton. Thomas Bray, no relation, is the nose tackle. Defensive ends, Jaden Bush and Brody Munger. Cornerbacks, Gage Carter, Jamison Anderson, and safeties, Patrick Parrish and Gage Barron. We're underway. The kickoff for the Skyhawks sails out of bounds near the Sydney 25-yard line. So the Yellow Jackets should be able to start in good field position here on the first possession of tonight's game. As we mentioned earlier, great weather, more like typical fall weather in Ohio tonight, and more like what you're used to on a Friday night to come out. And the temperature's right now in the upper 50s with a nice fall breeze blowing, and boy, just a great night for football here at Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 Field. The Yellow Jackets have elected to have Fairborn re-kick, so they'll be kicking off again to the Yellow Jackets as the first one sailed out of bounds. Sydney tonight is in their gold tops with black numerals and black pants. The Fairborn Skyhawks are attired in white tops with blue trim and sky blue pants. So we're backing the ball up from the 45 yards to the 35, and that's where Fairborn will tee it up and kick it off to start this game here tonight from Sydney. Yellow Jackets 1-4 on the season. Adam Dungis in his ninth year as the head coach here at Sydney High School when he started his tenure here in 2011. Here's the re-kick. Fairborn with the kickoff. This time it stays in bounds. The Jackets deep man picks it up, and here we go. We're underway. Yellow Jackets with a run at the 30, coming wide to the 35. He's got some space to the 45 midfield, and he steps out of bounds just before midfield. And that run back for the Yellow Jackets was Darren Taborn, the talented 5'10", 185-pound sophomore for the Sydney Yellow Jackets. So Sydney starts their first possession of tonight in excellent field position, although it does appear that the officials marked him out of bounds back at the 41-yard line. So when it looked like at first Taborn may have made it all the way up to midfield, he did step out of bounds back at the 41. Jackets first and 10 from their own 41 as we start the first possession of tonight's game. Three wideouts for the Jackets. It's Jones in motion, and here's a handoff on the play. It's E.J. Davis. He gets a pass the 42 to about the 43, 44-yard line. So a gain on the play of about three. It's going to bring up a second down and about seven for the Sydney Yellow Jackets. E.J. Davis, as we noted in the pregame, dealing with some injuries, but Coach Dungis said he did practice starting Monday, did practice all week, and he should be good to go for tonight. Sydney again with three wideouts, two to the far side, one to the near side. I formation in the backfield. Here's the handoff. It's Davis again. He's across the 45, and he lunges to about the 47, 48-yard line. So some tough going that time for Davis on the ground. And after two running plays to start this first possession for the Yellow Jackets, Sydney is looking at a third down and three from their own 48-yard line. We might note that Fairborn tonight has three starters that are out, Barron, Bush, and Collins, the wide receiver. So we'll see how that comes out to play and affects Fairborn tonight with three of their starters out. Jackets with the football. Here's the handoff to Davis. This time he goes left side. He's at the 45, 40, 35, some running room. Now he's finally met some resistance and went out of bounds at the 28-yard line, but hold everything. There's a flag in the backfield, and it's going to be a holding on the Yellow Jackets. It's going to deny what was a great run by E.J. Davis. Would have been a first down, would have been inside the Fairborn 30, but the flag's laying back at about the line of scrimmage. And that indeed is the call holding on Sydney. It'll back the Yellow Jackets up. And it'll be a 10-yard penalty. Sydney will now repeat third down from their own 38-yard line. So the Jackets are looking at third and 13 from their own 38. 10:57 left to play opening quarter. No score. Sydney with the ball. First possession of the game. So far, the Yellow Jackets and Ryan Dunham have not elected to throw the football. It's been all ground game for Sydney so far. But right now, three trips to the near side, one to the far side. Dunham back to pass. It's a swing pass. It's out to Quamir Brown. He catches the ball, gets across midfield, and just enough for a Sydney first down as he's knocked out of bounds at the Fairborn 47-yard line. So a good play. Brown was in motion. Dunham hit him on the pass. Nice catch by Brown on the play, a catch and run, and he gets just enough across midfield and into Fairborn territory for a first down for the Yellow Jackets. Sydney now first and 10 from the Skyhawk 47-yard line. And what's so far been a nice drive for the Yellow Jackets. One wide out to the top. It's a run. This is Davis. He's across the 45. He's got room. He's into the secondary, and he finally drug down out of bounds down around the 25, maybe the 23-yard line of Fairborn. And that run is going to be good for another Sydney first down. Good little mix that time. Sydney showed a wide out to the far side. Davis with a run to the right. And the ball's going to be placed with the nose of the football right on the 20-yard line of Fairborn. Good drive for the Yellow Jackets so far. Sydney first and 10 from the Fairborn 20. Davis is the lone back in the backfield. It's a handoff to him. Tough going, but he manages to fight his way with a little help from that nice offensive line for the Yellow Jackets, and he was able to get almost 5 yards out of a play that looked like was going to go nowhere.
Absolutely, right up the middle.
Right up the middle, and Fairborn had it played well, but the Sydney line showed a little more strength and pushed Fairborn back and gave Davis a little bit of room, and he was able to get four on the play. It'll be second and six for Sydney from the 16 of Fairborn. Fairborn making substitutions now. Clock stopped momentarily. 10 minutes to play, first quarter, no score. Sydney on the opening drive of this game. Dunham in his shotgun. He fakes the handoff, makes the pass to the left side to a receiver. It's caught just outside the 10. He's able to get inside the 10, down to the 8-yard line, it looks like. That was Quamir Brown with the catch for Sydney. And so far, Dunham is perfect through the air tonight.
Looking good.
Something that Sydney needs to do and do effectively is mix the run and the pass. And so far in this opening drive, they've done a nice job of that. Good enough for our first down, so we're looking at first and goal now for the Jackets from the Fairborn 7. I formation. Dunham. He hands the ball off to the running back, and he gets up the middle. That's going to be Jaden Swagger. He gets about 3 on the play, 4 on the play. We'll call it 4 as he nudges the ball up to the 3-yard line. Jackets now second and goal from the Fairborn 3. 9 minutes exactly to play, first quarter here from Sydney Memorial Stadium's 30-0 field. Sydney with a very nice sustained opening drive. Swagger's the lone back in the eye behind Dunham. Two wideouts to the top, one to the near side. And it's Swigert again up the middle, and looks like no gain on the play. Fairborn's defense was ready for that one as Swigert took the handoff from Dunham and hit a brick wall of Skyhawk defenders, and that's going to bring up a third down and goal now for the Jackets from the three-yard line. Be interesting to see what Coach Dungy's calls right here. Sydney with a real nice drive going, and you got to think, being down on the three-yard line, this is going to be probably four-down territory for the Yellow Jackets. Sydney with the snap. Here's the ball given to E.J. Davis, and he scores in the touchdown for E.J. Davis. He went to the left side. At first, wasn't sure he was going to get across, but then did drag his defender across the goal line. Touchdown, Sydney. E.J. Davis with the carry, and the Jackets take the early 6-0 lead.
Nice to be on the board first.
Nice to be on the board first, and it's funny you said that, Mike. Something that Coach Dungy's had mentioned, you know, it's important that Sydney gets off to a good start. A couple of losses early against St. Mary's and Bell Fountain. Sydney's offense came to life late, and it was too late. So it's nice to take that opening drive and take it all the way down the field, nearly 4 minutes off the clock, and get the score. Hallie Tuesdale's in for the extra point. She nails it right through the uprights, and the extra point is good. 8:02 left to play. Opening quarter here from Sydney. It's the Sydney Yellow Jackets 7, Fairborn nothing. You're listening to High School Football on scoresbroadcast.com.
Regal Trophy and Awards in Sydney has a corner on the market, and for a couple of very good reasons, quality and reliability. You see, for a long time, businesses throughout the region have counted on Regal for custom nameplates, badges, signs, and various industrial engraving.
Wayne Trail has partnered with Regal Trophy and Awards for many years. They have given us a quality product, always at a reasonable price, and completed our projects in a timely fashion. They've been a great vendor to work with, and we're more than pleased with everything they do for us.
Need trophies, plaques, and awards? Many colleges and schools, including Sydney High School, have preferred Regal forever.
When I think Regal Trophy, the first thing that comes to mind is the Wurman family. They take pride in every trophy that's produced. Regal Trophy and Awards has been in their family forever. Sydney Athletics, they've been our only vendor for 30-plus years, and I know at every event that they're a part of, our student-athletes are going to leave with an award that is befitting the efforts they've put forward.
Put a big smile on everyone's face with Regal Trophy and Awards. 1269 Wapak in Sydney at regaltrophyawards.com. Regal for the crowning touch.
Jeff Ray back with Mike Wick from Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field. Yellow Jackets with the early 7-0 lead. Sydney with the kickoff filing to the score. And it's taken back near the 15-yard line and ran up all the way up to almost the 30. The Fairborn Skyhawk, Tyler Mosier with the run back to start the offense here for Fairborn. Pretty decent field position for Fairborn as they get started on their first drive of the night. It'll be from the Sydney 29-yard line, first and 10 for Fairborn. And Mike, it was good to see Sydney get off to a good start, get the points on the board first, get a nice 4 minute sustained drive, and put together a score at the end. Fairborn in I formation for the Skyhawks. It's going to be a pass to the right side. It's caught by the receiver, and he gets near first down yardage as he picks up about 9 on the carry. And it's going to be second down and 1 for the Skyhawks for the pass play.
Colton Black.
Colton Black with the reception for Fairborn. Nice play by the Skyhawks. Pass play right out of the chute. Gets 9 for Fairborn, and it's a second down and 1. And it'll be interesting to see what the Skyhawks decide to do on a second and short. You just never know. This could be an opportunity to try something deep down the field with early down and small yardage to gain. It's a fake handoff. Quarterback goes back to pass. It's down the middle of the field, and it's intercepted by the Yellow Jackets right about the 23-yard line. Ball was intended on the play for Patrick Parrish. It was overthrown, and Darren Taborn was playing secondary, and he was able to pick it off. That is going to be Fairborn's first interception of the season. So Sydney picks off Fairborn. The Skyhawks try to go down the middle, just like I thought they might on a second and short. They tried to go deep and overthrew Patrick Parrish. And there was Taborn playing defense at free safety position. And he basically looked like the receiver on that play.
He did. He played that very well.
All he had to do is put the hands out as the ball went over the intended receiver. Taborn made the catch. Sydney with the second possession of the game now, first and 10 from their own 24. It's a handoff. It's Davis up the middle. He's into the secondary. He's got 10. He's got 15. And a good run by E.J. Davis. First run of the drive, he nets 15 yards, and the Jackets are looking at a first and 10 now from their own 40. And, Mike, if E.J. Davis, if there was any question about his injury, he has shown so far here in the first half of this first quarter that he's already shook that off.
He did. I think he's making up for lost time.
Sydney comes to the line of scrimmage. Two wideouts to the near side, one to the top. First and 10 from their own 40. Here's a fake handoff to Davis. It's a slant pass, and it's incomplete as Dunham tried to hit Avante Martin on a slant pass coming in from the right to the middle of the field. It went in and out of the hands of Martin. Ball was definitely catchable, and that's the first incomplete pass of the night for Ryan Dunham, who so far has done a nice job of mixing things up between the run and the pass. 6:34 left on the opening quarter clock. Sydney 7, Fairborn nothing. Jackets with the ball. Second and 10 from their 40. Yellow Jackets. Snap goes back, and it went straight to E.J. Davis as Dunham was not even there to take the snap. More like a wildcat play. Davis took the handoff. He goes to the left and basically lost about 5 yards on the play as Fairborn had it sniffed out perfectly on defense that time. Sydney trying a little something right there. Direct snap to Davis. He tried the left side, and Fairborn was ready and waiting for him. Third down and now 14 for the Yellow Jackets. The ball's placed at their own 36-yard line. 5:55 to go opening quarter, 7-0. Jackets with the lead. In the shotgun is Dunham. He takes the snap. He's looking downfield. He's going deep, and it's caught by Quamir Brown inside the 40-yard line of Fairborn. Wow, what a catch. You talk about skying up in the air, and that was a catch. Quamir Brown climbed the ladder, timed the leap perfectly,
and came down right.
Right in bounds. Yeah. Right in bounds. Quamir Brown knew exactly where he was on the field.
Yes, he did.
Dunham knew exactly where Quamir Brown was on the field. The pass was perfect. The catch was perfect. And Sydney is now showing a first down and 10 from the Skyhawk 37-yard line. Beautiful play by the Yellow Jackets on what was third and 14. Good conversion. Shotgun. It's Jones in motion. Dunham takes the ball, and he keeps it for himself. He's got some room along the right side across the 30 down near the 26-yard line.
That's going to be close.
And that's going to be enough for another Yellow Jacket first down. Ryan Dunham took the snap himself and took off running, and the right side of that Sydney offensive line did a great job to open up a hole and give him enough space to get a first down on that run.
I feel the confidence building.
You're right, Mike. You make a very good point. Sydney, with the last couple of weeks not able to put any points on the scoreboard, needed a couple of good opening drives like this to help build that confidence back up. And before the snap, now we've got a whistle, and it's going to be a timeout as Coach Adam Dungy's wants a timeout. When we come back, the Jackets will have first and 10 from the Fairborn 26. 4:41 left to play in the first. Sydney 7, Fairborn nothing. You're listening to High School Football on scoresbroadcast.com.
Meet the team at Wilson Memorial Sports Medicine. Our physicians, trainers, and therapists are highly skilled and treat injuries unique to student athletes. Wilson Athletic Trainers serve specific schools and are on site at sports contests. The Injured Athlete Clinic is open Mondays. Sports enhancement programs boost strength, speed, and flexibility. Phone 937-498-5548 or visit wilsonhospital.com. Wilson Memorial Sports Medicine in Sydney, keeping athletes healthy and in the game. We'll be right back.
Thanks to U.S. Bank, your banking is done in a few clicks, so you have time to get more done, like wake up, stretch, make yourself presentable, go to meetings, go to the gym, convince yourself you like the gym.
It's fun. I really like it.
You fit a lot into an average day. Thankfully, a U.S. Bank checking account with online and mobile access allows banking to fit in your life. Call 800-720-BANK, visit a branch, or go to usbank.com/checking. U.S. Bank. The power of possible. See a banker or visit usbank.com/checking for more information. Deposit products offered by U.S. Bank National Association, member FDIC.
U.S. Bank offers you 29 branch locations in the Western Ohio District.
Jeff Bray along with Mike Wick back at Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field following the Sydney timeout. It's a handoff to Davis. Tough going, and he is able to drag out 2 yards on the play. Sydney now looking at a second down and 8 with the ball sitting at the Fairborn 24-yard line. Dunham in the backfield by himself. It's a swing pass out to the left side. It's caught by a Sydney receiver. He breaks one tackle, gets into the secondary, and he finally ran down around the 7 or 6 yard line of Fairborn. What a beautiful pass, and now that's twice we've seen swing passes from Dunham that were right on the money. And I do apologize, I missed who that was that made that catch. But boy, what a play by the Yellow Jackets. Beautiful swing pass by Dunham. The catch was made, and it was the run after the catch that made the difference. Sydney looking at first down and goal from the Fairborn 7. In the backfield is Taborn. It's Dunham with the snap. He keeps it himself. Nice break. Nothing to the right, but he goes to the left, and he gets around the defensive end and into the end zone for a touchdown. Ryan Dunham took the snap. It was a quarterback keep. He started to go to the right side, found there was a brick wall, immediately was able to change his direction, go to the left side, went around the end, and was able to get around the entire defensive line and outrun the defenders to the goal line. A beautiful play by Ryan Dunham, who did a good job of improvising right there, showing you when there's nothing here, let's try, if there's nothing to the right, let's try the left.
That's exactly what you want to see in a quarterback. Great thinking.
Dunham the holder, Hallie Tuesdale the kicker, and here's the extra point try. It's up, it's good, it's perfect. 3:22 left to play, opening quarter, and so far it's been all Sydney, as this time they score on points off of a turnover. Sydney 14, Fairborn nothing. 3:22 to go in the first on scoresbroadcast.com.
Hot, delicious home-cooked meals are a hit at Clancy's Restaurant in Sydney. All-you-can-eat fish on Friday, chicken on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, I totally like the international cuisine at Clancy's. The first and third Wednesday of each month, we plan our schedules around it. I especially like the Greek and Chinese cuisine.
Nothing fancy at Clancy's, just fantastic food.
Without traveling to Dayton, I can enjoy authentic international cuisine right here in Sydney.
Teens fill their tummies at Clancy's, too.
Oh, the young crowd loves Clancy's. I always see them at after-school activities with the brown Clancy's to-go bags, and I just know they love them, and they love the sandwiches.
And what's your favorite sandwich at Clancy's?
Oh, definitely the topper. It's probably my favorite sandwich over all the Wendy's or Burger King sandwiches.
Eat in, drive up, order out. Clancy's, 1250 Wapak in Sydney. Phone ahead at 492-8820.
Clancy's is priced just right for the whole family.
Daily dinner specials under $7, complete breakfast under $4 at Clancy's.
The Goffney Furniture and Mattress Store in Sydney is holding its 77th anniversary sale. 72 months, no interest financing, or 20% off for cash, check, or credit card. Goffney Furniture and Mattress Store, located on West Michigan in Sydney, just west of I-75. Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com. Kickoff for the Yellow Jackets following their second score of the night goes to the up back. It's Dwight Lewis with the run for Fairborn. He gets across the 30, 35. Good return, and he's knocked out of bounds right at the 36-yard line. And that's where Fairborn will take over, first down and 10 from their own 36. Well, if you're just joining us, the Jackets sustained a nice 4-minute drive on the opening drive of the game, put 7 points on the board. Fairborn came right back with a nice run on their first snap of the game. And then on second and one, The quarterback tried to go deep, went up the middle. It was picked off by Taborn. Sydney took the turnover, went right back down the field, and scored points off of the Fairborn turnover. 14-0 Sydney, 3:12 to go here in the first. It's a run to the right side for the Skyhawks. This is Hunter Warren. He gets up about 4 or 5 on the play to the 40-yard line, and Fairborn will be looking at a second down and 5 just across their own 40. Hunter Warren, a 6 foot 195 junior running back for Fairborn, got nice speed. Got a nice little burst of energy at the initial part of the run, but the Jacket defenders were quick to get to him. Man in motion. It's a handoff, though, up the middle, and he's going nowhere as the Skyhawks tried to run a opposite field reverse. That time it was Brody Munger with the ball, and the Jackets had that sniffed out perfect. No gain on the play. Fairborn's looking at a 3rd and 5 ball on the 41. Sydney defensive line doing a nice job that time to sniff out what was going on. There was a lot of misdirection that time, but Sydney was not fooled at all on that defensive line. Fairborn looking at this point of the game, a very important 3rd down right here, 3rd and 5 from their own 41. Man in motion. It's a fake handoff. It's a pass over to the right side. It's caught, and it's a 1st down as the Skyhawk receiver Cameron Hamilton was able to reel it in, made a nice little spin move, took some initial contact prior to the 1st down marker, but got enough speed and energy to burst past what he needed for the line to gain, and he goes across midfield. 1st and 10 for Fairborn from the Sydney 49-yard line. 1:45 to play, opening quarter. Sydney with the lead 14-0. Skyhawks with one in the lone man in the backfield, and it's a handoff to Hunter Warner, and he gets about 4 on the play as he tries one right up the middle. Fairborn offensive line with a little bit of initial push there, but the Jackets quickly swarmed to the ball carrier and stopped him for a short gain. Gain of 2 on the play. We'll call it 2nd and 8 for Fairborn at the Sydney 47. Beautiful night for high school football here at Sydney. It's elementary night, so there is a big, big crowd here tonight. It's good to see the stands full of all the elementary and junior high and high school students here tonight at Sydney. I formation. Quarterback. Seacrest back to pass. He's in a little trouble now. He's being chased. He's scrambling. He throws the ball away as he had no choice. Deep down the field, he was out of the pocket, and he did throw it past the line of scrimmage, so he had no choice. He threw it away, and that's going to bring up a 3rd down now for Fairborn, 3rd and 8 from the 45. Dylan Shukri was the pursuer that time for the Yellow Jackets as he was in hot pursuit that time of Garrison Seacrest. Garrison Seacrest, a nice athlete, 6'3", 165 senior for the Skyhawks. 52 seconds left now as the clock stops on the incomplete pass. Smart play by Seacrest to throw that away. The one thing he did not want to do was throw a 2nd interception in this quarter. I formation. Seacrest is back to pass. Here comes the rush. It's a middle screen. It's caught by Hunter Warner.
Short.
He's up to about the 41-yard line, and he's going to be a couple of yards short. It's going to bring up about a 4th down and 2 for Fairborn from the Sydney 41. We'll see what Coach Randy Kearns decides to do here. 4th down and 2. Ball rests at the Sydney 41. And the play clock is at 22, 21, 20. The scoreboard clock at 20. So there's about a 2-second difference between the play clock and the game clock. So they are going to have to run a play here before the end of the quarter. And they're going to go for it. 4th and 2 from the Jacket 41. 2 in the backfield. Here's a handoff. It's to Warner, and I think he's got just enough. Yes, the officials are signaling move the chains. Warner with a nice run. Needed 2. Got 2.5. 1st down, Fairborn. That's going to be the final play of the first quarter. We've played one quarter here at Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field. Our score after one, Sydney 14, Fairborn nothing. You're listening to High School Football on scoresbroadcast.com.
Two Rushi family-owned firms doing business for 60 years each are proud supporters of scoresbroadcast.com. Superior Aluminum provides the finest aluminum columns, railings, and fence available on the market. The Francis Schulze Company distributes quality wholesale building materials to lumber dealers, home centers, and door specialists. Superior and Francis Schulze are two of the many unique industries in Shelby County that help make the region a great place in which to live, work, raise a family, and receive an education. Superior and Francis Schulze are proud supporters of scoresbroadcast.com. Go to Goffney for quality furniture priced just right. You see, the Goffney Furniture and Mattress Center in Sydney has you covered with the very best furniture for your dining and living areas, adult and kids' bedrooms, home office and entertainment spaces, and much, much more. Goffney's new innovative support report system can help you find the perfect fitting mattress and make sure you take advantage of the 5-star white glove delivery. Visit our beautiful showroom with hundreds of room layouts. New inventory of furniture is always on display. That's Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A furniture.com, 2600 West Michigan in Sydney. Go Goffney.
This is scoresbroadcast.com. Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County online radio entertainment system. We're the radio on your phone for high school sports.
And welcome back to Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field. Jeff Bray with Mike Kramer, pinch hitting tonight for, or Mike Kramer, Mike Wick, pinch hitting for Jack Kramer and Chuck McBee. You're not Mike Kramer, are you?
I'm not, but I've been called worse.
Fairborn on its initial play as we start play here in the second quarter. It's Brody Munger in motion to the left. Seacrest goes back to pass, and he is rushed heavy, and he has to throw it away as Munger didn't even have time to turn around to look for the pass because Seacrest had to get rid of it in a hurry with the defensive pressure by the Jackets. Here's a pitch around to the left side. Seacrest pitches to Munger again, and he's going to get about five on the play. It's going to bring up a third down, I should say, and five for the Skyhawks. Second quarter underway. 14-0 Sydney with the lead. Serving the Upper Miami Valley since 1972, Barker Insurance has earned a reputation that's second to none. For many years, Barker Insurance has been the number one most valued agency in the area. Barker Insurance can customize an auto, home, farm, business, or life insurance program. We represent insurance firms like Erie, Buckeye, Ohio Mutual, and others. You're covered with a plan fitting your needs perfectly when served by Barker Insurance. That's for sure. Barker Insurance, County Road 25A, a mile north of I-75, number one, Barker Insurance at 937-492-1857. As we return to action, it's Seacrest looking for a swing pass to the right. He was intending to hit receiver Jackson Kuhlman, but it come up short, and we are looking at fourth down and five as Darren Taborn was there with the good defense, and the Jackets have done a nice job.
That was really close to an interception.
Yeah, Darren Taborn almost picked it off. Fairborn's going for it. Fourth and five from the Sydney 33. Here's a pass up the middle. Oh, and it's batted down by the Yellow Jackets. What a play by Ryan Cagle. Cagle read that perfect, timed his leap perfect as the ball was headed right down the middle of the field for an intended receiver. Cagle leaps to the air, bats the ball down, and that's a turnover on downs. The ball goes back to the Yellow Jackets. A great job by the Sydney defense to hold Fairborn in Sydney territory. We played less than a minute here in quarter number two, 11:04 to go. Second quarter, Sydney with the early 14-0 lead. So far, the Yellow Jackets are looking good here tonight against the Skyhawks. Sydney with Mike, you mentioned it earlier. They needed some confidence, especially after getting shut out the last 2 weeks. They've done a nice job here tonight getting out to an early 14-0 lead. Jackets back on offense. It's Dunham. He hands off to E.J. Davis. Nothing up the middle, so he goes to the outside to the right, and he's able to take what would have been a no gain and make about 4 positive yards out of it.
Absolutely. Looks good.
Davis is doing a nice job, Mike, of being able to read the defenses and change his direction. He's quick of feet, and he is able to shift his body and shift those feet and change directions quickly, and it's hard sometimes for the defense to catch up to what he's doing. Second down for the Yellow Jackets as Davis was able to reel off 5 on that run. Jackets with the ball, 2nd and 5 from their own 38-yard line. Davis, the lone runner in the backfield, and it's a handoff. He goes up the middle. He's into the secondary, and he bursts through the initial defenders for about 10 on the play, 15 on the play. We'll call it 1st down and 10 right at midfield for the Sydney Yellow Jackets. What a nice play that time by E.J. Davis. A burst of speed right through the middle. The offensive line opened up a hole for him, and he burst right through it. Nice job by the Sydney offensive line that time. Let's give them some credit. Davis spotted the hole they opened up, and he was through it lightning fast. 1st and 10, Jackets from midfield. Yellow Jackets with another run. This time it's Davis again. It's left side. Tough going this time. He gets about 2, maybe 2.5 on the play. Quamir Brown went motion far side just to show possible pass play, but it was a handoff all the way to Davis. He gets 2. 2nd down and 8 now for the Yellow Jackets as they now travel into Fairborn territory at the Skyhawk 48-yard line. 9:20 to play, 2nd quarter, 14-0 Sydney with the lead. 2nd and 8 Jackets. Davis in the backfield with Dunham, who is in the shotgun. Quamir Brown in motion. And the ball goes to Quamir Brown. He's across the 45, the 40. Oh, and he cuts back inside to inside the 40. But there's a flag on the play sitting back about the 45-yard line. And that would indicate possibly a hold on the Yellow Jackets. That's exactly what it is. Holding is the call on Sydney. And it's going to negate what was a really nice run by Quamir Brown. 2nd penalty of the night, 2nd holding penalty of the night for the Yellow Jackets. The first time, the Yellow Jackets did not let the penalty hurt them. They were able to recover on that opening drive, ended up scoring. Then the 2nd score of the night for the Yellow Jackets came as points off of turnovers. Following a Taborn interception, Sydney went down the field, put 7 more points on the board. This is going to back the ball up with the hold all the way to the Sydney 45, where we're now looking at 2nd down and 15 for the Yellow Jackets from their own 45-yard line. Brookins in Fort Laramie, well known for its juicy broasted chicken dinners, plus many savory sandwiches and cheesy, meaty homemade pizza. The special on Saturday night features 2 delicious 8-ounce marinated pork chops. Owner Carl Orange creates a fun, family-friendly atmosphere. Brookins is perfect for anniversaries, wedding rehearsals, and more. The banquet room seats up to 60. Enjoy the new late-night menu, open till 2:30 a.m. Thursday through Saturday. You can't beat Brookins at 10 Elm Street in Fort Laramie. Like us on Facebook, Brookins, B-R-U-C-K-E-N-S, pub.com. Pass play. As Dunham goes back, pass up the middle.
Went to Darren Taborn.
And Darren Taborn makes the catch, and he's good for a 1st down as he is able to carry defenders with him all the way down to the 37-yard line. Beautiful play that time by the Yellow Jackets. Beautiful play by Dunham to spot Taborn in the open, and he hit him perfect. Dunham, here's a handoff up the middle, and maybe about 2 or 3 yards that time for the Jacket running back. That time it was Swiger with the carry for the Yellow Jackets. Jaden Swiger, a 5'10", 182-pound senior. Sometimes Swiger goes out and plays wide receiver, and in that case, he was actually in the running back position. He'll come out of the game and E.J. Davis back in the game for the Yellow Jackets. 7:30 to play. First half, 14-0 Sydney. Man in motion is Jones. It's Davis. The handoff to Davis. He goes left side. He's across the 35 to the 30, down to about the 28-yard line. That's going to be very close to another Yellow Jacket first down. We'll have to see where they spot the ball. Going to be close. And now the officials eyeball it, and they signal first down. So we move the chains. The Yellow Jackets sustain the drive, and it'll be first and 10, Sydney, from the Fairborn 27-yard line. 6:55 to play, second quarter. Sydney putting together, Mike, another nice sustained drive, just very similar to the opening drive of this game. Dunham in the shotgun. Davis behind him in the eye, and it's a handoff. It is Davis. He goes left side, and he meets resistance right away, but he is able to power himself down for about 2 yards on the play, and those 2 yards came on sheer muscle and leg drive as Davis met resistance, and he is coming off the field with a little bit of a limp and a hobble. So Davis, who had been fighting an injury last week, has looked good in this game so far, but now comes off and he's kind of holding that left hip, so we'll have to keep an eye on him and see what happens. But into the ball game for the Yellow Jackets now is Jaden Swiger, the 5'10 senior. He's in the backfield with Dunham, who's in the shotgun. Dunham rolls right. He's looking to pass. He's looking downfield. He's got a man open down at the end zone, but it's underthrown a little bit and defended well by the Skyhawks, who knocked the pass away, incomplete. Boy, the Yellow Jackets had a shot, had a man open. It was Quamir Brown. He was running toward that corner of the right side of that end zone, and it was Dwight Lewis for Fairborn with a nice defensive play. Dunham's throw a little bit short. If he would have threw it over the defender's head, Brown would have been able to make the catch. It's going to bring up a 3rd and 9 for the Jackets. Ball is placed at the Fairborn 26. 5:55 to play, second quarter, 14-0, Sydney on top. Dunham in the shotgun. Swiger's back with him. It's a pass, left side. It's caught. And it's Lathan Jones with a nice catch and then a run, and he's able to get down to the 15 before he's knocked out of bounds. That's going to move the chains. That's going to be another Sydney first down. Beautiful play as Sydney continues to make third down conversions, and that is so, so important when you get these third down conversions and able to convert. And good news, Mike, E.J. Davis runs back out onto the field. Sydney, 1st and 10 from the Fairborn 15. Davis in the eye. Man in motion is Jones, and it is a handoff to Davis. He goes left side. He's down to the 10, and that's as far as he's going to get as he is tackled by a swarm of Fairborn defenders at the 10. It's a gain of 5 for Davis and Sydney, and it's going to be a 2nd down and 5, Sydney, from the Fairborn 10. I have been impressed with the way Sydney has mixed up the run and the pass and has been able to sustain drives and convert on third downs. All the key things, all the key factors that you need to do for success in winning a football game, that's what Sydney has done here in this very swift-moving first half. High formation. This is Swiger in the backfield. A handoff to him, and he gets just back to the line of scrimmage, maybe a half yard at the most. Basically didn't go anywhere. And it's going to bring up a 3rd down and still 5 to go from the Fairborn 10. Make sure you join us at halftime. We've got highlights for you. 3 weeks ago, we played highlights of the Sydney-Piqua game from 2 years ago. We had three lightning delays that night against Belmont 3 weeks ago. So a lot of folks did not get to hear it. So we're going to play it for you again at halftime tonight. Make sure you stay tuned and listen to that. It's going to be exciting. Dunham in the shotgun. Davis, the lone back. Dunham, he's going back to pass. Swing pass to the left, intended for Davis. Batted down on the play, though, by Fairborn's Hunter Warner. I'm Hunter Warner. You got to watch these guys with two first names. Hunter Warner with a really nice defensive play. Got the hand up in the air.
Connor Bradley almost had that one as it was coming down.
Yep, you're right, Mike. Good observation. Warner batted the ball in the air, and Bradley nearly picked it off. Allie Truesdale is going to attempt what's going to be a 27-yard field goal as Sydney looks at 4th and 5 with the ball at the 10. Snaps high. Place is down. Hallie's kick is up, and it is good as it just snuck in the right upright. What a nice job. Dunham is the holder, the quarterback. The snap was high. He had to grab that snap, bring it down, and Truesdale was still able to not miss the beat, and she was able to put it through the uprights, just inside the upright for the 27-yard field goal. 4:16 to play in the first half. Sydney 17, Fairborn nothing. Back with more high school football in a moment on Score. Broadcast.com.
The gem in Rushi, Ohio is the Jewelry Barn. Jolene Renderly and her staff are certified by the Gemological Institute of America.
Our Jewelry Barn is quite unique. The Jewelry Barn offers a wide variety of costume jewelry and high-end jewelry. We have a wide variety of engagement rings.
And located among cornfields on the eastern edge of Rushi, the Jewelry Barn is known as the gem of Rushi.
Yeah, that's right, Jack. That's what our customers call us. It's a repeat business, and they come from all over. It's great.
The Jewelry Barn at 2399 Rushi Versailles Road.
Just a nice little shop.
S-C-O-R-E-S. Score, score, score. One more time. S-C-O-R-E-S. Score, score, score.
Welcome back to Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field. Jackets 17, Fairborn nothing. It's a squib kick. The ball's loose on the ground. Sydney is piling on trying to come up with it, but I believe Fairborn was able to recover. Wow, what a surprise there as the Yellow Jackets went for the kickoff and hit a little squib kick, and it almost worked just as good as an onside kick. It wasn't set up and designed like a traditional onside kick. Squib kick that went into the in and out of the hands of Chris David for Fairborn, and the Jackets just about pounced on it, but lucky for Fairborn, they were able to recover, and they will take over 1st and 10 from their own 30. Jackets in a breakout game that they needed badly after these last 2 weeks. Some confidence is building, it seems like, with every minute of this game. Sechrist, the lone person in the backfield, he hands it off to a running back, and it's going to be Hunter Warner. Hunter Warner with a nice run, gain of 5, 10, 15 as he finally brought down at the 45-yard line. A nice first down run by Hunter Warner of 15 yards. And Fairborn moves the chains, 1st and 10 Skyhawks from their own 45. Time could be a factor now on this drive. We're just under 4 minutes to play in the first half. Sydney leads 17 to nothing. 1st and 10. Fairborn, the ball on their own 45. Fairborn does have two timeouts remaining. I'm sorry, they do have all three of their timeouts remaining. My mistake. Here's a handoff, right side. This is Warner again. Nice run, this time of about 7 on the play. He does get across midfield into Jacket territory. It's going to bring up 2nd and short. 2nd and 3 for Fairborn. The clock continues to run down to 3:20 left to go first half. If you remember, Mike, in that first quarter, Fairborn had a 2nd and short. It was 2nd and 1. They went for the long pass down the middle. Taborn picked it off. Sydney turned around and turned it into points. And so we'll see what Fairborn decides to do this time on 2nd and short.
So are you calling that again?
If he does, he's going to go topside. And this time it is a handoff. It's not a pass. It's going to be Warner again. Tough going for Warner, but he's able to muscle his way across. The first down marker is moved. He gets across the line of scrimmage. It picks up an additional 3 yards, and it's a 1st down Fairborn, 1st and 10 from the Jacket 42. Clock continues to run, 2:48 and counting. 17-0 Sydney with this first half lead. Fairborn, 2:40 to go. First half, all three timeouts remaining. One wide out near side. It's a handoff to Warner. He's across the 40, down to the 35, and he gains 7 on the run. And the clock continues to move, but a nice run by Hunter Warner again gets the ball all the way down to the jacket, 36-yard line. Mike, can you imagine if the Skyhawks put together a good drive right here and Sydney's defense is able to stiffen up and hold them scoreless going into the halftime, what a momentum builder that would be. Here's a handoff. This time it's Warner again. He goes left side, not a whole lot there, but enough to get the first down and move the chains. Ball down to the Sydney 30-yard line. Fairborn continuing to run the ball and move it effectively on the run. 2 minutes to play now. Clock running. First and 10, Fairborn, Sydney 30. Fairborn to the line of scrimmage. So far this has been, every play has been a run on this drive. One lone backfield. In the backfield, it's Brody Munger in motion, and the pass goes to him on the left side. Sydney defenders are there to get him right after the catch. Nice catch by Munger. The Sydney had it defended well, but still a nice pickup of about 7 on the play. We'll call it 2nd down and 3 for Fairborn, as the ball is going to be on the Sydney 14-yard line.
Fairborn continues to move that ball.
Continue to move the ball, and the clock continues to run. 1:20 and counting. Fairborn still with all 3 timeouts. 2nd and 3 from the 23. Here's a handoff. It's a misdirection handoff. It goes to Warner again. He doesn't get much, but it looks like he's close to the first down marker. He needed 3, and the officials stop the clock as they may actually measure. And now they're saying it's enough, it's a first down. So first down Fairborn. They sustained the drive. Still not using any timeouts. 1st and 10 at the Sydney 20. Under a minute now to play. Here's a pass play to the left side. Ball's caught. Dwight Lewis with the catch, and he quickly runs out of bounds. Nice little out pass, perfectly executed by Fairborn. It was a pitch and a catch and a quick run out of bounds.
It
stops the clock, and it also nets almost 5 yards on the play. 2nd and 5, Fairborn at the Sydney 15. 54 seconds left to play. 17-0, Sydney with the lead. I formation. Seacrest back to pass. He's scrambling. Now he finds a receiver open, caught, and he runs out of bounds. And he looked like, to me, Mike, he's going to be maybe a half yard short of the first down, but still another good pitch and catch. And Fairborn playing the clock very well. Josh Smith with the catch and got out of bounds to stop the clock. 2-minute drill really being put in place here, and Fairborn doing a nice job of executing it.
Yes, they are.
3rd down and 1, ball on the jacket 11, 49 seconds to go. Here's a handoff. Oh, and the jacket defense meets him immediately, but I believe he got just enough. You're right, Mike. Initial hit looked like maybe he was going to be a little short, but he was able to fall forward and get, he only needed about a half yard. He was able to get the yardage he needed. The ball is going to be placed, the nose of the football, just inside the Sydney 10. And the clock now continues to run again. 35 seconds and counting. Seacrest back to pass. Open receiver caught down around the 7 and out of bounds as Fairborn continues to execute the 2-minute drill. Nice catch at that time. Seacrest did a nice job. And I believe that was corner on the play with the catch. 31 seconds to go, first half. 2nd and 7, 2nd and goal, we might as well say, for Fairborn. Ball just inside the jacket, 7, 31 seconds left. And we'll see what happens. Fairborn lines up. They do have an I formation. Seacrest gets the snap. He goes back. He's being chased. He's in trouble. He's scrambling. Yellow Jackets chase him. He gets away. He goes to the end zone. Deep in the end zone. It's in and out of the hands of the receiver. Fairborn had a golden opportunity for a touchdown in the back of the end zone, and the ball went in and out of the hands of the receiver and fell out of bounds. 3rd down and goal for Fairborn from the Jackets 7. Boy, what a job by Seacrest. He had about 4 Jackets chasing him in hot pursuit, and he was running like his life depended on it. Found a receiver open in the back of the end zone, made a great pass. It was Gage Barron, and the ball went, I'm sorry, it was Yeah, it was Barron. He just went in and out of the hands of the receiver and fell short.
And I'll give him credit. He threw that back against his body.
He did. Fairborn's going to take a timeout, and they're going to talk about what they want to do here on third and goal from the Sydney 7. LaCal Equipment in Jackson Center is a founding sponsor of scoresbroadcast.com. LaCal manufactures quality replacement parts for highway maintenance equipment used by cities and contractors around the world. LaCal supplies parts for street sweepers, highway mowers, refuse collectors, and salt spreaders, for example. Its roots date back to 1947 in L.A., California, thus the name LaCal. The present corporation was established in Jackson Center in 1982. Locally, LaCal is pleased to promote high school scholarship programs, and scoresbroadcast.com was conceived a dozen years ago thanks to support from LaCal Equipment in Jackson Center. Thank you, LaCal Equipment. Here we go. Fairborn lines up. Third and goal from the Sydney 7. 21 seconds to play. Second quarter. Back to pass. Sechrist. He looks to the corner of the end zone, and a Sydney player caught it. We'll see if they rule it an interception, or did he step out of bounds? Oh, they're going to say he caught it, but had a foot out of bounds. That was nearly intercepted by the Yellow Jackets as the defender stepped in front of the receiver, made the catch. The officials say that he stepped out of bounds, did not get the feet down inbounds when he made the catch. Boy, what a nice defensive play that time by Lathan Jones, who nearly came up with a drive-ending interception at the end of this first half. So now we're looking at fourth down and goal for the Skyhawks from the Sydney 7, and it looks like Fairborn's going to line up to attempt what should be about a 25-yard field goal. Brody Munger back to kick. Here's the snap. It's a little high. They get it down. The kick's a line drive, but it's good right through the uprights, and it is good.
That was a line drive.
That was a line drive. The Fairborn Skyhawks put together a beautifully sustained two-minute drive, but credit the Sydney defense. They held them to just 3 points. When we come back, 12 seconds left to play in the first half. It's Sydney 17, Fairborn 3 on scoresbroadcast.com.
Need tires or service for your car or truck? M&A Muffler and Tires in Fort Loramie is popular for its quality work that will get your vehicle running right.
I know very little about cars, but I have developed a lot of trust and confidence in Jeff Gephardt and his staff at M&A.
Cost is reasonable at M&A Muffler and Tires in Fort Loramie. It's fair and honest.
Comparable or even lower prices than service at other shops.
And more than 1,000 tires are in stock at M&A Muffler and Tires.
At M&A Muffler and Tire, we have a big tire sale you'll never get tired of.
All kinds of brands.
We've got big savings on Goodyear, Firestone, Michelin, General, Uniroyal, BF Goodrich, Mastercraft, and all major brands of tires.
A really neat service at M&A is free pickup and delivery. It's so convenient.
Total auto and light truck repair at M&A Muffler and Tires, Main Street in Fort Loramie.
Wouldn't take my car anywhere else.
Talk to Geppy, Jeff Gebhardt at 800-474-4123.
Jeff Bray with Mike Wick back at Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field. 12 seconds remain in the first half. 17-3 Sydney with the lead. Fairborn just put their first 3 points on the board with a 25-yard field goal. Kickoff is a short one taken by an up man. The Yellow Jackets take it at the 35-yard line. That was Jaron Kelly who grabbed the kick and then quickly went to the ground. So the Yellow Jackets will have the ball first and 10 from their own 35 with 10.5 seconds left here in the first half. And don't know what Adam Dungis might do here, Mike, but you got to think he may play it safe here with a 17-3 lead. Fairborn does get the ball to start the second half. Or he may go for a home run ball right here. We'll see. Sydney is lined up with four wideouts. Davis in the backfield. And it's Dunham in the shotgun. Here's the snap. He's going back to pass. He's being chased to the left side. He's going downfield with a deep pass, and he's looking downfield in and out of the hands of Lathan Jones. It hit Jones. It hit a defender, went back into Jones's hands.
Had he caught that, he was gone.
And then it went out of bounds. And Mike, you made a good point. Had that ball landed securely in the hands of Lathan Jones, he had nobody in front of him as he was right down around the 15-yard line. All he would have had to do after catching the pass was turn around and run it into the end zone. So Sydney did take a shot, and they still have 2.8 seconds left should they decide to take another one. 17-3, Jackets on top with the football, second and 10 from their own 35, 2.8 seconds left. Jackets are lining up like they're going to take another shot. Three trips to the far side, one near side. It's a short pass to the right. Ball is caught by Quamir Brown. He cuts back to the inside. He has a couple blockers. Then he runs out of room. He's tackled at the 41-yard line, and that will end the first half. So the Yellow Jackets look very good in the first half. A couple of very good sustained drive. A good defensive stop at the end of the first half to only limit Fairborn to only 3 points after they put together a great two-minute drill drive. And the Jackets are on the scoreboard with the lead of 17-3 as we go to the half. Our halftime is brought to you by Wilson Sports Health Medicine, and we will have highlights coming up for you in just a moment. Highlights of a back in 2017 between the Sydney Yellow Jackets and the Pickwa Indians. We mentioned a little bit earlier, Mike, that 3 weeks ago when Dayton Belmont was here at Sydney, we played those highlights at halftime. But during that Belmont game, we had three different lightning delays. So there were many folks that didn't get to hear the highlights. So we're going to play them again tonight. And so we're excited to let you hear those highlights. Our halftime is presented to you by Wilson Health Sports Medicine in Sydney. Wilson Health Sports Medicine is the official sports medicine provider for 12 area high schools, including Sydney, Layman Catholic, Fort Laramie, Anna, Houston, Fairlawn, Christian Academy, Jackson Center, Botkins, New Bremen, Minster, and New Knoxville. Certified athletic trainers work with high school athletic programs to provide on-site services for student athletes. Wilson Health Sports Medicine, keeping athletes healthy and in the game. 17-3 our score. Sydney leads it here at halftime from Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field. One of the biggest wins for the Yellow Jackets in the 9-year coaching career of Adam Dungis at Sydney High School came 2 years ago in late September when his Yellow Jackets nipped Pickwa by a score of 34-33. Andre Gordon and Isaiah Bowser were surrounded by many other good players on that team, which finished this campaign at 10-2 that year and advanced to the second round of the playoffs. The victory over Pickwa stretched the Yellow Jackets' record to 6-0 at that point in 2017. We pick up the action of that thrilling contest with less than 2 minutes gone by in the fourth quarter. The Indians are on the move with the ball, trailing Sydney 27-19. Jack Kramer and Chuck McBee had the play-by-play in color right here on scoresbroadcast.com.
First down, Indians, 22 of the Yellow Jackets. 10.5 to go in the game.
So Pickwa had, they had 76 rush yards in the first half. They had 122 in the third quarter.
Wow. Third quarter alone, 50 more rush yards for Pickwa that period than in the entire first half. Davis fakes the handoff left, gives it right. Oh, a lot of space. Real estate for the ball carrier. Down inside the 10, 7, 6-yard line. Tackle from behind by Sydney. Saved a touchdown.
That was Bowser, and he did save a touchdown.
Isaiah Bowser yanked on Brown around the shoulder pad at the 7, pulled him to the turf at the 6. Great run by Brown. Good deception. Offensive backfield by Pickwa. That play went for how many, Chuck? About 14.
That one went for 15.
15 yards. Yep. One more miss there by Bowser, and it's a touchdown, Pickwa. Goal to go, Indians. 6-yard line of Sydney. Two receivers far left for Davis. He's under center. Bynett, big offensive line. Handoff outside left tackle. Schmeezing breaks one. He batters his way to the 3-2-1. Almost got in. What a run by Schmeezing.
Wow.
He got 5 of the 6. Looked like he was stonewalled at the 4. And he garnered 3 more thanks to a second and third effort. Goal to go, or I should say second and goal for Piqua. 1 yard line of Sydney. Indians a touchdown, a two point conversion away from knotting the count. 27-19 Sydney. Piqua to the line of scrimmage. Second and 2 feet to go outside the Sydney goal line. Sydney crunching 8 men up on the defensive front. Hand off to Schmeezing. Schmeezing left tackle behind Caden Clark, the big man up front. And he powers into the end zone. Touchdown, Piqua. 27-25. Sydney's lead whittled to 2. We've got a thriller here at Piqua tonight. Just what we expected. Sydney with a shaken up player down on the field. Piqua within 2 points of Sydney, 27-25. 2-point conversion try for Piqua. Split backs. Davis hands off Schmeezing. Outside left tackle. Hit at the 2. Hit at the 1. He bounces and gets in for the 2-point conversion. We're tied. Sydney 27. Piqua 27 with 9 minutes left in this game. Sydney Yellow Jackets have been tied up. Sydney led this game 21-7. Give credit to Piqua. Major adjustments in the running game here in the second half. And the Indians have racked up 3 touchdowns. Short kickoff. Bouncing down to the 22. Great coverage by Piqua. Tackle made against Sydney at the 27. Harris was dropped right in his tracks.
That was Carnegie, and he's having a heck of a game.
Clearly, Chuck, big momentum shift here in the second half. Piqua with the psychological edge, having tied the game at 27, it's imperative. Piqua takes this ball down the field and gets points.
Well, I'll tell you, Sydney still, the only time they stopped themselves, I think, was kind of some questionable play calling. So I think that's the only thing that stopped them, and that's what I said at halftime. Sydney, I think, is the only thing that can stop them offensively.
3 receivers far left for Andre Gordon, who gives it to Isaiah Bowser, and Bowser hammers to the 30, puts his head down, and pushes out to the 33-yard line. He tracks for 8 on the play. That'll give him 7. Second down and 3 for Sydney at the Yellow Jackets 33 with 8.5 to go in the game, and we are tied at 27. Excellent comeback by Piqua, which once trailed in this game 21-7. Receivers, 1 right, 2 to the left for Gordon. Inside handoff, Isaiah Bowser. The going is slow. Piqua stalemates him at the 35. A minimal gain of 1.5 yards. It's going to be 3rd down and 1 yard plus to go for Sydney at the Jackets 35. 8 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter. Enormous play here for Sydney. Yellow Jackets cannot afford to lose anything. If you gain a foot or two and you're still inches short, you might go Bowser on 4th down. 3 receivers trips to the left. Gordon gives to Bowser. Bowser bolts across the line of scrimmage to the 39-yard line. He's shot ahead for a quick 4, and he's got the 1st and 10. That's the offensive line giving Isaiah that opening, because there was no resistance for 3 or 4 yards. That offensive group up front for Sydney, another great week. Both offensive lines are rock solid. Each team's rushing game has been excellent here tonight. 7.5 to go in the fourth quarter. To the line of scrimmage, Sydney. Gordon peers near sideline. Play clock winds down. 15-14. Gordon still looking. Precious seconds ticking off. 5, 4, 3 in the play clock. Snap to Gordon. Rolls right. Then drifts back to pass. He's 15 yards behind the line. Now he's 20 yards behind the line. Throws it. Right sideline. Caught beyond the hash. And a good run after catch. My goodness gracious. It's Bowser. He caught it at the 30 after an amazing ad-lib by Andre Gordon. And Bowser ran it from the 30 to the Piqua 45. Great discipline for Sydney not to hold anywhere on that play.
Yeah, well, you got the best running back and you got the most athletic player on the field. They're just gonna, they just need to let them win the football game for them.
That was a backyard play, Chuck, if I've ever seen one. Isaiah Bowser has been a top flight receiver all year long. One of the top pass catchers for Sydney in the Jackets offense. Hand off, Bowser, middle of the line, trudges a yard, that's it. He is spun down at the 42. It was a first down at the 43, so it's second and nine for Sydney with 6:25 to go in the fourth quarter, and the game tied at 27. Andre Gordon on the pass play. A couple plays from scrimmage ago. Wound up better than 20 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Buying time to Bowser. Came back toward the line and got free. Here's a toss sweep to Bowser. Bowser around left end. He charges to the 35, sliding to the 31. I tell you what, Isaiah, Chuck, does a tremendous job in traffic of protecting the ball, as he did at the end of that play.
Yeah, he's the real deal.
6 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter. Game tied at 27. Sydney trying to surge on top. Three timeouts remain for each team. Yellow Jackets wholesale changes. Darren Tabor in at a wide receiver. Caleb Harris flanked to the right as well. Got to believe this is a Bowser call once more.
I think he's out.
Oh, he is out of the game. Gordon with a deep drop to the right. Sprints back to the left. They've got him contained at the 45. He sprints out of trouble, and he rips off a pass down the middle of the field. Caught at the 16-yard line. A run to the end zone. Touchdown, or is he out of bounds at the one? Very close. Wow, was it Tayborn? Or was it Harris? Again, an amazing job of Sydney receivers, Chuck, who don't give up on the play. And Andre finds them. These sneaky receivers for Sydney use their speed, hasten back toward the line of scrimmage. Andre buys time forever and ever.
The Pickwood defensive linemen are going to be seeing Gordon in their sleep tonight.
I think you're right about that. Ball marked out of bounds inside the one. Bowser got the handoff back at the five, and he stopped for a loss of a yard at the 1.5. 5:18 to go in the fourth quarter.
It's not a real bad thing there to get stopped. They're going to get a little more time off the clock.
Exactly.
And they're still going to get their touchdown unless they turn it over.
I was thinking the same thing you were. Were we able to pick up the receiver on that pass play, Chuck?
No, it's too dark and not too old.
Don't know if it was Tayborn or Harris. I think it was one of the two. And Gordon's done that several times tonight on this drive about to Bowser and to Whiteout, to each one. And we have an announcement from public address, from the official on the field, saying no music when the offensive team comes to the line of scrimmage. At the one, second and goal, Sydney, game tied, 4:48 to go in the fourth quarter. It's Bowser between left guard and tackle. There's no crevice. He can't push it in. He stopped. It's going to be third and goal for Sydney.
We got a penalty.
Ooh.
On Pickwood.
Did they rough Bowser?
I know. I think it almost had to be offside for where the guy came running in. One of the poorest jobs I've ever seen of an official waving his hands over his head.
4 minutes, 45 seconds to go in the fourth quarter of this game. Illegal shift against Sydney. Oh, is that ever critical? It's going to be second down all over again, but back at the 6-yard line. Chuck, I agree with you so much about how Andre Gordon has improved at quarterback, surveying the field.
Last year, he would have ran every run.
Last year, run first when he scrambled. This year, it's pass first when he scrambles. We're back at the 6, though. Goal to go, Sydney. 4.5 left. Toss sweep to the right, and the ball carrier is thrown down. No gain. Bowser tried to get the corner turn. He was decked. Goal to go at the 6. 4:20 to go in the game. And you wonder now, Chuck, if you gain nothing, do you try a field goal from the far hash mark with 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter to get the lead? 1, 2, 3 receivers far right, a couple to the left. Five are flanked. Count them, five. Three to the short side for quarterback Andre Gordon on third and goal from the 6.5. He fakes the power sweep, and Gordon wants to roll right and keep. Oh, he's in trouble. Hemmed in way back at the 17. Back at the 20. He's tackled there. Biqua, big loss.
That probably took him out of field goal range.
Yep. Well, what was once a goal to go at the 1 foot line is fourth and goal at the 20. Andre Gordon simply ran out of tricks.
I think maybe you call a your timeout here and talk about this one.
The clock is rolling down to 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. We're tied at 27. Fourth and goal, Sydney at the Piqua 20. Andre simply had no more tricks in the bag there, and Piqua swarmed him, suffocating him back at the 20-yard line.
Well, Chuck, my son in the stands here tonight, Tim, has informed me it was Kelton Stockton.
Thank you, Tim.
Who made that catch down to the 1 yard line, didn't quite get into the end zone. Wish he would have, because now Sydney has a fourth and goal from the 20. Deep drop by Gordon, throws middle of the field at the goal line. Great catch! Touchdown! Amazing! Sydney scores! Holy cow! What a play! Who hauled that one in? Was it Six Stockton? It might have been.
I'm looking for the replay.
Or was it Four Darren Taborn?
That was Six.
Six Stockton! My goodness, Piqua nearly broke it up. Defenders crisscrossing right in front of Stockton at the goal line, and what a bullet thrown by Gordon. Extra point try, but Truesdale is big.
I'll tell you what, that was Rontez Roberts that made the catch.
Was it Rontez Roberts,
yes,
who hauled it in?
Number 80.
Spectacular play by Rontez Roberts. He took a hit at the goal line, held on, and Allie Truesdale smacked the extra point perfectly right between the goalposts. Sydney leads at 34-27. 2:40 left to go here in the fourth quarter. That, Chuck, as you just noted during that commercial break, that forward pass by Andre Gordon, which was rifled middle of the field, was within a whisker of being deflected away by Piqua from Rontez Roberts at the goal line.
Well, and it couldn't have worked out any better for the Yellow Jackets. They ran probably another 2 minutes off the clock.
Yep.
If they would have scored on that one touchdown. So they still got the lead, and there's only 2:40 left in the game.
And now the Indians will put their two-minute drill to work. 2:33 left in the fourth quarter in a terrific high school football game here tonight at Alexander Stadium, Burke Field in Piqua. 34-27, Sydney on second and goal. 7-point lead. Schmeezing outside left end. Sydney collars him, but he breaks loose. He breaks loose again. Over. Touchdown. What a play by Schmeezing. Yellow Jackets nearly took his shoe off back at the 6. Looked like he might have gone into the end zone wearing just one sneaker. Amazing run by Schmeezing. Boy, he has been elusive, especially here in the second half. Piqua now goes for the lead at a 2-point conversion with 45 seconds to go in the game. 1-point game. Sydney leads. 2-point try by Piqua. Here is Davis. He rolls to the right. He hands the ball off to Schmeezing. It's pried loose by Sydney. Way back at the 13. It's on the ground. Fumbled. The 2 points are denied. Piqua is stopped. Sydney spelled out the play beautifully. Perhaps, Chuck, the timeout called by Sydney was the difference, because the Yellow Jackets were not buffaloed. Davis is trying to make it look like he had the ball, a roll out to the right, a bootleg, but he'd given the ball off to Schmeezing, who was covered up by three Sydney defenders, who blanketed him back at the 15, and the ball wound up being coughed up, and the 2 points are denied, and Sydney hangs on to a precarious 1-point lead.
Sydney's Isaiah Bowser made the big stop on Pickwick's try for the two-point conversion and the win. Coach Dungis had inserted Bowser on defense, and he made a terrific play, crashing through the left side of Pickwick's offensive line, slamming the door on Schmeezing, the Pickwick ball carrier. Bowser stuffed the play behind the line of scrimmage and even jarred the ball loose. Final score was Sydney 34, Pickwick 33. Sydney won a thriller at Pickwick in 2017 en route to a great 10-2 season. And something else I like to mention, Mike, in that game, and I did tell Jack this, one of my favorite all-time quotes from Chuck McBee was in that game, and I think maybe we'll talk Jack into getting it put into the open, but it's where Jack said, "Did you catch the number of the player?" And Chuck said, "Nope, it's too dark and I'm too old." And I thought that was one of the greatest all-time quotes from Chuck, which he comes up with some good ones every once in a while. Jack Kramer and Chuck McBee both will be back with you here on scoresbroadcast.com next Friday here from Sydney as they take on the Troy Trojans. The halftime brought to you by Wilson Health Sports Medicine in Sydney, keeping athletes healthy and in the game.
Early in her freshman basketball season in 2016, Fort Loramie's Marissa Myring suffered a serious knee injury. But in just 6 months, thanks to Wilson Health Sports Medicine, Marissa, now a senior, was healthy and back in the game. Listen now to another Wilson Health Sports Medicine success story, as told by Marissa's parents, Betsy and Kevin Myring.
It was practice on December 15th when our daughter Marissa went down with a knee injury. Wilson Health Sports Medicine stepped in, assessed the knee injury as a complete ACL tear and a meniscus tear. It was a little devastating to hear as she started off her freshman year so strong.
However, Ryan Castle, Wilson Health Sports Medicine athletic trainer, played a major role in Marissa's full recovery.
There's so many great things that I can say about Ryan. He was just fantastic. He was there supporting Marissa every step of the way, from her injury to the assessment to surgery to rehab all the way to her full recovery.
And successful surgery on Marissa's knee was performed by orthopedic surgeon Dr. Matthew Heckler.
Marissa's surgeon, Dr. Heckler, was terrific. We had full confidence in him. He was just so compassionate and caring toward Marissa. I'll never forget the day in his office when he gave her the diagnosis of the ACL tear. Of course, she was in tears, and Dr. Heckler handed her a box of Kleenex and said, "It's going to be okay. I'm going to get you fixed up and we'll get you back on the court."
Marissa responded. After a solid sophomore basketball season, she excelled as a junior. She was named Girls Shelby County Player of the Year, First Team All Southwest District, and Special Mention All Ohio.
We're so thankful for Wilson Health Sports Medicine.
Keeping athletes healthy and in the game.
Thank you to Wilson Health Sports Medicine for underwriting our halftime here on scoresbroadcast.com. It is halftime here at Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field. The Sydney Yellow Jackets are on top of the Fairborn Skyhawks, 17-3 here at the intermission. And we'd like to thank tonight's underwriting sponsors for making tonight's webcast possible here on scoresbroadcast.com. Thank you to American Architectural Glass in Fort Loramie, Barker Insurance on the north edge of Sydney, south of Anna on 25A, Local Equipment in Jackson Center, a Scores founding partner, U.S. Bank with 29 branch locations in its Western Ohio district, Wilson Health Sports Medicine in Sydney, who we just heard from during our halftime, and the Sydney Daily News with the best sports page coverage around. Thank you to the underwriting sponsors that make it all possible to bring you high school sports, usually over 100 webcasts a year here on scoresbroadcast.com. We're about a minute and a half away from the second half kickoff. Sydney leading Fairborn 17-3. We'd like to remind you that right now Goffney Furniture is having its mattress anniversary sale, is what I'm trying to say. Goffney Furniture Mattress Store in Sydney is holding its 77th anniversary sale. They're offering 72 months of no interest financing or 20% off for cash, check, or credit card purchases. Goffney Furniture and Mattress Store is located on West Michigan in Sydney, west of I-75. Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com.
Go to Goffney for quality furniture priced just right. You see, the Goffney Furniture and Mattress Center in Sydney has you covered with the very best furniture for your dining and living areas, adult and kids' bedrooms, home office and entertainment spaces, and much, much more. Goffney's new innovative support report system can help you find the perfect fitting mattress and make sure you take advantage of the five-star white glove delivery. Visit our beautiful showroom with hundreds of room layouts. New inventory of furniture is always on display. That's Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com, 2600 West Michigan in Sydney. Go Goffney.
Jeff Ray with Mike Wick back with you from Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 Field. We are just about set for second half action. The Sydney Yellow Jackets, with a very impressive first half, lead the Fairborn Skyhawks in this Miami Valley League conference play. 17-3, our score, Yellow Jackets on top. Sydney with a very nice opening sustained drive to put seven on the board. Scored seven more off of a turnover, and then was able to add a Hallie Truesdale field goal later in the second quarter for the 17 points. Fairborn then put together a real nice two-minute drill drive at the end of that first half, but the Jackets defense stood the test and held them to just a field goal. Sydney with the 17-3 lead. Here to start the second half, it's an onside kick, and there's a scramble for it just past the 40-yard line of Fairborn, and it looks like the Skyhawks have recovered it. But boy, Sydney coming out to start the second half with a little bit of a trickery. Adam Dundas figured, hey, we might as well get control of this game and get it right now. Came out with an onside kick, and it nearly worked.
And it bounced.
It did.
Six times before anybody picked it up.
Bounced in the favor of Sydney, but Fairborn was able to recover. So the Skyhawks start out the second half with the football. Here's a handoff to the right side, and nothing doing as the Yellow Jackets are there to put the clamps on Hunter Warner, and he was able to get maybe a yard out of the play. It'll be second down and nine for Fairborn. Sydney doing a nice job, Mike, in that first half. I thought that Ryan Dunham looked about as sharp as a quarterback could look. He did a great job of mixing the run and the pass. He was very accurate on his passes. Matter of fact, the two incomplete passes he had could have been caught. They were both in the hands of the receiver and fell away. Here's another running play. It's a sweep to the left side, and it's going to be Brody Munger with the carry, and he gets nothing. Matter of fact, he loses yardage as the Yellow Jackets defense was there to stop him on that left end sweep, and it goes back to the original line of scrimmage, maybe even a yard past, and we're looking at a third and 11 now for the Skyhawks from their own 37-yard line. Sydney defenders sniffed out that end sweep, and it went nowhere. The Jackets defense has been very impressive here tonight. Fairborn now with four wideouts, three near side, one far side. One running back in the back. He stays back to block. It's a pass. It's a right slant pass, and the question's going to be, was the catch made by Dwight Lewis, or did it hit the ground? The officials are calling it a catch, but every single one of the Jacket defenders are given the incomplete sign, like that ball hit the ground, and now another official comes in that had a better view and calls it the correct call as an incomplete pass.
You know, I'm glad to get got together on that one and talk it over.
That's exactly right, Mike. At least the officials did the right thing. The official that had the best vantage point came in, spoke to the other officials, and said, no, the ball hit the ground, it's incomplete, and Fairborn's going to be forced to punt. And this is going to be, I believe, their first punt of the game.
I believe so.
Fairborn back to punt, ball on their own 37, fourth and 11. 10:20 to play, third quarter. The punt's away, but, oh, there's going to be a flag. There's going to be a flag as a Sydney defender ran into the punter and took him out, and he might be hurt. The ball lands down about the 25-yard line, and the punter for Fairborn now does get up to his feet and is limping off, and that's going to be Thomas Bray. Thomas Bray, a 6'2", 260-pound senior. He got hit right after he let the ball go down low. So dangerous, Mike, when a punter gets hit low like that. He's vulnerable. He's up in the air. He has no way to defend himself. And I didn't catch the yellow jacket that ran into him, but this is going to be a roughing the punter call. That's going to be a penalty, and that's going to put Fairborn back out on the field on offense, if I'm not mistaken. We'll see what they call here for sure. But it is a penalty. And I was waiting to see if they were going to call it a running into the kicker or a personal foul roughing the punter. It is a personal foul. It does go 15 yards, and that's going to put Fairborn into Sydney territory now. First and 10 at the Jacket 48-yard line following the roughing the punter. Here's Seacrest. Here's the handoff. Oh, and there's running room around the left side as Fairborn's running back Cameron Hamilton was able to find some space, and he moves the chains. He takes the ball all the way down to the Jacket 36. That might have been one of the best runs of the night that we've seen out of the Skyhawks. Cameron Hamilton, a 6-foot, 205-pound junior running back. Once he got through the initial surge of the Jacket defense, he turned on the speed, and the next thing you know, he was down to the 36-yard line. First and 10, Fairborn, 9:50 to play third quarter, 17-3, Jackets lead. Man in motion for Fairborn is Munger. It's a handoff on the play, and going maybe a yard, maybe two, is Hunter Warner. And one thing about it, Mike, Fairborn does a nice job as well at mixing up the run and the pass, and they are certainly not afraid to go with the run. Of course, if you listen to our pregame show, Jack interviewed Coach Randy Kearns, and we also know that Fairborn sometimes will show that wing tee offense, and so you always got to be prepared for that. Coming down and wide out now on the near side is Patrick Parrish. He's going to be the lone receiver. Here's a man in motion. It's a handoff up the middle, and somebody loses a helmet. I believe one of the Jacket defenders lost a helmet, but the Fairborn running back was able to trudge ahead for about 8 yards, and it's going to be a third down and two. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe that was Seacrest that kept the ball.
I believe so.
Third down and two, Fairborn. Ball on the Jacket 28-yard line, 8.5 to play third quarter. Jackets show blitz. Here's a handoff right side. This is Hunter Warner. He has enough for the first down and more, and this will move the chains as he takes the ball down to the Jacket 23. Nice job by the offensive line by the Skyhawks that time to open up a nice hole for Hunter Warner. And he gets the first down. And the Skyhawks, thanks to a penalty on roughing the passer by the Jackets, have kept this drive alive. First and 10, Fairborn, Jacket 23. And here is a misdirection handoff in the backfield. And this time it goes to Warner. He's good for about three more. And on first down, he gains three and takes the ball down almost to the Jacket 20. Mike, it's important to note on the offense, we talked about Fairburn's offense. Coach Randy Kearns calls all the offensive plays himself. Unlike a lot of teams who will have an offensive coordinator or an offensive coach up in the booth calling plays, Coach Kearns calls his own offensive plays.
And on this drive, he's doing very well at that.
Yes, he is. To the near side, wide out is Dwight Lewis, and hits the pass to him. It's caught. He turns, he runs upfield. He's at the 15, the 13, and he's slung down to the ground right there as the Yellow Jacket defender was able to make the play. That was Darren Taborn on the tackle. But a nice catch and a little extra yardage after the catch for Fairborn, who moves the ball down to the Jacket 19, and we're looking at a third and one. Fairborn being very patient, not showing any signs of panic, knowing they're down 14, trying to put together a nice successful drive here in the second, or I should say in the third quarter here in the second half.
You know, that's a good point. I've noticed that all night, that they're very calm.
Yeah, they don't panic. Third and one from the 19, man in motion. It's a handoff up the middle. It's Warner, and he's got the first down, and he's down to near the 11, and that's going to move the chains. And it looks to me like that Fairborn will still have an opportunity for another first down. The ball placed at the 11, so Fairborn could still get another first down if they can get the ball down to the around the 1 or just inside the 2-yard line. 6:53 left on the scoreboard clock, third quarter. Sydney leads 17-3, but Fairborn driving in Jacket territory. First and 10 for the Skyhawks from the Yellow Jacket 11. Seacrest under center this time. Turn around, and it's a handoff to Warner, fake handoff to Warner, I should say, and then a pass to the left side, and that ball intended for Jeff Montgomery, but incomplete, and I'm sorry, that Brody Munger was the intended receiver, incomplete, and you can thank the Sydney defense for that one because they were in the face of Seacrest before he even had time to size up his throw to Munger. Give the Jacket defense credit for pressuring the Skyhawk quarterback, and he was not able to deliver an accurate pass. 6:49 to play in the third, 17-3 Jackets on top. Fairborn now looking at a second and 10 from the Yellow Jacket 11. Seacrest again under center. Warner the lone setback, man in motion, and it's a handoff to Warner. And he's down to about the 6. We'll call that a gain of 5 on the play. And we'll call it third down now and 5 for Fairborn from the Jacket 6. As we mentioned, the Skyhawks are able to get a first down if they can get it inside the 2. Fairborn taking their time, getting the play right now from the sidelines as Coach Randy Kearns sends in the play to Seacrest, who ran over and got the play from the coach. Play clock down to 7 and counting. Seacrest in the shotgun. Warner behind him in the eye. He looks to pass. He's looking in the end zone. Nothing there. He's being chased by the Yellow Jackets, scrambling to the left. Finally finds a man that's open in the end zone, but it's batted away by the Jacket defenders and incomplete. And what a nice play that time by Cam Vordemark, who was Johnny on the spot, batted the ball down right in the middle of the pass attempt. And that receiver, I should say, for Fairborn was wide open. Had Vordemark not got there in time, that would have been an easy 6 points. So now it's 4th and 5 from the Jacket 7. And we'll see what Fairborn elects to do this time. And they're going to call timeout and talk about it. We'll take a timeout as well. 5:54 left to play in the third. Sydney 17, Fairborn 3. You're listening to High School Football and Scores, broadcast.com.
Get connected to your VA benefits. Chris North of Shelby County served 4 years in the U.S. Navy. Chris is your Shelby County Veteran Services Commission officer.
If you are a veteran or a surviving spouse of a veteran, or even if you know a veteran, we want to connect you to your benefits. That can easily be done by calling us at 937-498-7282. 498-7282.
Or go to facebook.com/ShelbyCOVSO or call 498-7282. The Shelby County Veteran Services Commission. We're vets serving vets.
Jeff Bray with Mike Wick back at Sydney Memorial Stadium's 30-0 field. Fairborn faced with a 4th down and 5 from the Jacket 6. With 5:54 to play, trailing Sydney 17-3, and we'll see. It looks to me like Coach Kearns has decided to go for it. Already kicked one field goal in this game, but this time, as time is starting to run down, they're going to go back to pass. Seacrest, man open across the middle. He throws it wide, incomplete, and the Jackets defense has held the Skyhawks again. Sydney will take over first and 10 from their own 6-yard line. And Mike, I'm here to tell you the Jacket defense has been impressive here tonight. Give Fairborn credit. They have moved the ball well, got a few sustained drives that were very impressive. But when it gets down in the red zone, the Yellow Jacket defense has stood the test each time tonight. The only thing so far they've allowed was a earlier 25-yard field goal. 17-3, Sydney leads, takes over on downs, first and 10 Jackets from their own 6 with 5:50 to play third quarter. Dunham in the shotgun, handoff to E.J. Davis. He's back in the backfield. Now he gets away to the 5, to the 10, to the 15, and he's finally drug down there. He's going to be just short of the first down by about a yard. A little scary for just a second there as he kind of went backwards toward that end zone. He was in pursuit by a Fairborn defender, but easily outran the defender and picked up a nice 9 yards on that carry. E.J. Davis showing no signs of any injury or even fatigue so far here in this game. Did come out earlier in one play with a little bit of a hobble, and every once in a while you notice a little bit of a gimp in his step, but he's still out there giving it 110%. Two wideouts near side, one far side. Davis is in the backfield. Snap to Dunham. He's Dunham. He's going to keep it, and he's going to be brought down for a loss. He tried to go behind the offensive line, and that time it was Evan Kennedy who was trying to lead the block for Dunham, and nothing doing, and he lost yardage that time. It's going to bring the ball back to the 14-yard line. Big third down and 3 right here from the Jacket 14. Going to be interesting to see what Coach Dungis does right here on 3rd and 3 from their own 14. Got to be very, very careful in this situation not to turn the ball over and give Fairborn an easy 6 points here. Lathan Jones is wide out near side. It's going to be a handoff. It's Davis. He gets through the middle. He breaks three free. He's in the secondary, and he's brought down, tackled on the play by Josh Smith, who saved a touchdown. E.J. Davis showed what kind of speed he's got once he breaks into the secondary. He got past the initial surge of defenders and got into the secondary and was just dragged down.
One more step.
One more step, and he was gone. We have an injured Skyhawk on the field, so we're going to take a timeout. 4:16 left to play in the third. Sydney leads Fairborn 17-3 on scoresbroadcast.com.
Have you been considering LED lighting but feeling confused? Our talented team at Dickman Supply can answer all your questions about LED lighting and get confusion out of the game. We can help with the design and retrofits, plus even with obtaining all eligible utility rebates. Call the Dickman Supply Green Team or contact our lighting departments in Sydney, Greenville, Salina, and Marysville. Dickman Supply, the largest Eaton electrical distributor in West Central Ohio.
Sam Roberts, the injured Skyhawk, he was able to get up and walk off on his own power. Here's a handoff to Davis, the next play from scrimmage by the Yellow Jackets, and he fights his way for some tough yardage for about 7 down to the Jacket 45. And I'll tell you what, E.J. Davis is a sophomore running like he runs, and it is going to be so fun for these Sydney fans to watch him over the next couple of years as this program continues to build. And I tell you what, there is a very nice, talented sophomore class on this Sydney football program. And they've got some good talent down in the 7th and 8th grade as well. So Sydney football here in about another 2 to 4 years is going to be a program to really watch out for in the Miami Valley League. Here's a play. It's another handoff to Davis. This time tough going, but he fights his way forward for about 2 across the 45 to the 46-yard line. It's going to bring up a third down and about 2 for the Yellow Jackets after that run. 3:14 and counting here in the third. Jackets with a 17-3 lead. That was the score at halftime, and that's still our score here with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. Jaden Swiger comes into the game, into the backfield, and gives E.J. Davis a breather. Lathan Jones, near side, Wide out, two receivers to the right. The hike to Dunham, the snap to Dunham, and it goes to the running back, Jaden Swigger, and he fights for a couple of tough yards, and it's going to be very close to the first down marker. That may be close enough that they may have to measure. Nope, the officials say fourth down. What is Coach Dungis going to do? I believe he's going to go for it. At least he's lining up.
I don't think there was any doubt about that.
Fourth and less than a yard for the Jackets from their own 48. Oh, and a Fairborn player jumps off sides, and that's going to give Sydney an automatic first down. Good job by Dunham to probably change up the snap count and the cadence on the line, and a Fairborn player jumped off sides. That was Colin Burns, and he made contact. He wasn't able to get back. Break for the Yellow Jackets, and what was going to be a fourth and one now turns into a first and 10. The ball moves over to the Fairborn side of the field at the Skyhawk 47. 2 minutes left to play, third quarter. Jackets doing a nice job with another good sustained drive and using some clock. 17-3, Sydney on top. Dunham in the backfield, in motion is Brown. The ball goes to Brown. He's at the 40. He's down to the 38, and he's run out of bounds. And a nice play that time by Quamir Brown. And, boy, you talk about some speed, Mike. Quamir Brown has got some wheels. If he would have been able to turn the corner and run upfield, it would have been a foot race to the end zone. Second down and a little more than a yard to go for the Jackets. The ball at the Fairborn 38, and we now have an official's timeout for some reason. Not sure exactly what that is, but we'll find out. Yellow Jackets back to the line as they resume play. 1:48 to play, third quarter. Dunham in the shotgun. Davis in the backfield. And it's in motion from Lathan Jones. Here's a handoff, and oh, is he stuffed going nowhere, Davis. Matter of fact, he lost 2 yards on the play. And I'm not sure, Mike, that might be the first loss of yardage run that we've seen all night out of the Yellow Jackets running backs. Now Davis gimping off the field again. So I'll tell you what, he's playing tough. He's trying to stick it out there, but every once in a while he limps off the field and needs a breather, needs a break. So he comes out. Jaden Swigger comes back in, and Swigger's done a nice job whenever he has spelled Davis tonight. Third down and 4, Sydney. Ball at the Skyhawk 41. Near side is Darren Taborn. And it's a handoff. It's Swigger. He tries to get around on the right side as it's an end around, and he did get just enough for the first down. Nice job by Swigger, and a great job by his offensive lineman. That was Isaiah Huggins, who moved the defender back and gave him enough space
for
a first down.
They did not call that a first down.
Oh, I beg your pardon. You're right. They're saying that went out of bounds just short of the marker. So, similar situation as before. Fourth down, less than a yard, but this time the ball rests at the Skyhawk 37. 57 seconds to go, third quarter. Watch for Dunham and see what he does here on fourth and less than a one. Here's a snap. He's going to keep it himself. Now he goes back looking for the left screen pass. Nobody there. He throws it away, and that's going to fall incomplete. Fairborn holds, and they'll take over on downs. And Dunham comes up holding his throwing arm, his right wrist, and I believe he landed on it, or the defender landed on it as he was tackled in the backfield as he threw the ball away. Defending on the play for Fairborn was Hunter Warner. He took Dunham down. Dunham was able to throw the ball away, avoid a sack, avoid an interception. But Fairborn takes over on downs. But more importantly, Mike, Ryan Dunham is being looked at for a possible wrist injury. Fairborn with the ball, first and 10 from their own 37, 51 seconds left, third quarter. Sydney with a 17-3 lead. It'll be interesting to see now what Coach Randy Kearns decides to do, if how aggressive he'll decide to get to try to get back in this game. Here's a pass wide out to the right side. That's Dwight Lewis, and he goes nowhere as the Jacket defenders had it sniffed out. That was Darren Taborn on the stop, who did a nice job to read the offense and make a stop, and it goes for a short one-yard gain, second and nine for Fairborn from their own 38. The game clock and the play clock are nearly the same, so Fairborn may have to snap one more play here before the end of the third quarter. One wide out to the top. Man in motion. Here's a handoff up the middle. And it's going to be Warner again, and he fights his way for about five on the play, and that's all right there. That's going to be in the third quarter. When we come back, Fairborn's going to be looking at a third down and three from their own 45. We played three here at Sydney Memorial Stadium's 30-0 field. The Sydney Yellow Jackets lead the Skyhawks of Fairborn 17-3 here on scoresbroadcast.com.
Eilerman Construction in Fort Loramie will customize your building needs in a way that's absolutely unmatched.
Eilerman did a wonderful job. They came in, they sat down, my wife and I, and created an addition and a remodeling plan that included over 500 square feet of new master bedroom, a master bathroom with a big soaking tub and walk-in shower, and a beautiful closet, my wife's favorite place to be.
Homeowner Ryan Schultze said Eilerman Construction worked closely with him and his wife, just like Eilerman Construction will for you, step by step by step.
We also remodeled over 1,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. Eilerman's attention to detail was amazing. They installed a couple hundred feet of new dark cherry trim and cherry doors to match.
Eilerman Construction is known for outstanding customer service and a personal touch.
From Jill in the front office to Dan, Mark, Scott, and Nick Eilerman to Greg Heilers, they were all so personable and very highly skilled at their jobs.
Dan Eilerman Construction is a four-decade, two-generation business dedicated primarily to residential construction. You will be satisfied.
Expert craftsmanship, such a beautiful look, finished on time, and it was even finished below budget.
Online at daneilerman.com.
Back to action at Sydney Memorial Stadium's 30-0 field as we begin fourth quarter play. Fairborn with the ball, third and three with a run up the middle. And it's just enough for a first down. And I'm not sure who the running back was, but boy, he did a nice job to surge up the middle. The officials had to eye the sticks.
They've done that a lot tonight.
And it was just enough. So Fairborn keeps the drive alive, and this is an important drive for the Skyhawks as they start the fourth quarter trailing by 14 points. They're going to need a score and be able to get a stop and get the ball back and score again. First and 10 from their own 48-yard line. Skyhawks, here's a running play. And it's Warner, and he's free.
Nice,
he's into the secondary. He's across the 30, down to the 25, and finally ran out of bounds right there by the Yellow Jackets defender on the play. But, boy, what a nice first down run from Hunter Warner. And that moves the chains, and the Fairborn Skyhawks are in business on this drive. But as we mentioned earlier, a couple of different times tonight, Fairborn has moved the ball, but once they get inside the 20 in that red zone, the Jackets defense has stood the test. We'll see what happens here. First and 10, Skyhawks, ball at the Jacket 25. 11:29 to play in the game, 17-3 Sydney. Oh, and here's a mix-up in the backfield as Sechrest went to hand the ball off to Warner and ran into the running back. Sechrest had to end up keeping the ball himself, and he gets nothing on the play, maybe a half yard out of it, if that. Cedric Johnson, a sophomore, in on the stop that time for the Yellow Jackets.
I'm sorry, he was taking snaps down here on the sideline.
Oh, okay. Cedric Johnson, as Mike noted, taking snaps on the sideline because Ryan Dunham looked like he came off with a wrist injury. We'll see what happens when the Jackets come back on offense. Here's a handoff. And up the middle it goes for the Skyhawks. This time it's Cameron Hamilton, and he trudges forward for another Fairborn first down. This time the ball goes down to the Jacket 15-yard line. Fairborn moving the ball and moving it well in this drive.
Very calculated.
10:40 to play. Time could end up being a factor at some point in this game, but Fairborn still in no sense of urgency, taking their time, getting their play called in from Coach Randy Kearns. Under center this time is Seacrest. Man in motion. It's a handoff up the middle. And there's a fumble. And it looks like that Fairborn recovered the fumble, and it's Hunter Warner on the carry. And, boy, for a minute, it looked like that it was disaster for Fairborn. But Hunter Warner with the carry, but he was able to jump back on the loose football. No harm as he ends up taking the ball down to the Jacket 10, second and five for the Skyhawks.
It was out. It was clearly hit the ground, and he was right on it.
You're right, Mike. Very alert was Hunter Warner. And I tell you what, that could have been the save of the game. Had he lost that football there, and Sydney would have took over with 9-plus minutes to go and a 14-point lead, the Skyhawks could have been in trouble. Man in motion near side. It's a handoff. It's Warner. He's inside the 10. He's fighting his way hard, and he's slammed down to the ground inside, right at the Jacket 5. And that's enough for another first down. And Fairborn's going to be looking at a first down and goal from the Sydney 5-yard line. Jacket defense, they've played a whale of a game all night. You wonder, though, just how tired they might be. The good thing tonight, Mike, is the temperatures are only in the 50s instead of the 80s like it's been the first half of this season.
That is true. They've been conditioned for the last several weeks with
I formation. It's a Hunter with the handoff, and into the end zone goes Fairborn for the touchdown. 5-yard touchdown run, and the Skyhawks score their first touchdown of the night, and it's 17-9. As we await the extra point to see if they can get it within 7. With 9:05 left to play in the game, what a nice drive Fairborn put together there, marching all the way down the field and scoring on a 5-yard run. And it looked to me like it was Hunter Warner. Skyhawks line up for the extra point. Thomas Bray, and it's a fake. And Skyhawks are looking to go to the end zone. Here's a pass, and it's picked off by the Yellow Jackets. And it's going to be no good. Trickery play that time. Randy Kearns decided he was going to go for two. And that time, the Yellow Jackets sniffed it out. And Sydney's Quamir Brown was Johnny on the spot, Mike. He was able to pick it off at about the 1-yard line and then ran on out of bounds. The 2-point conversion fails. Sydney leads 17-9 with 9:05 left to play in the game on scoresbroadcast.com.
Two Rushi family-owned firms doing business for 60 years, each are proud supporters of scoresbroadcast.com. Superior Aluminum provides the finest aluminum columns, railings, and fence available on the market. The Francis Schulze Company distributes quality wholesale building materials to lumber dealers, home centers, and door specialists. Superior and Francis Schulze are two of the many unique industries in Shelby County that help make the region a great place in which to live, work, raise a family, and receive an education. Superior and Francis Schulze are proud supporters of scoresbroadcast.com.
One back. 17-9 our score. The Jackets lead Fairborn. 9:05 left to play in the ball game. And thank you to Superior Aluminum and Francis Schulze of Rushi. Proud supporters here on scoresbroadcast.com. We thank all the staff and associates of both Superior and Francis Schulze. Here's the kickoff following the touchdown by the Skyhawks, and it's taken down around the 20-yard line by the Yellow Jackets. This is Quamir Brown. He's trying to come far side with it up to the 20, 25, and he's drugged down right there. That's as far as he's going to get. The Yellow Jackets will take over first and 10 from their own 25, leading 17-9 with 8:55 left to play in the game. You are listening to Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County online radio entertainment system, scoresbroadcast.com. high school football. Make sure you tune in next Friday night. It's going to be homecoming here at Sydney High School. Jack Kramer and Chuck McBee will have all the play-by-play in color, the Yellow Jackets against the Troy Trojans. First and 10, Sydney. Ball on the 25, on their own 25. Jackets lead 17-9 with 8:55 to play. Here's a run up the middle. It's E.J. Davis, and he's tripped up just past the original line of scrimmage, and he may have got two out of the play. Very important for Fairborn here, trailing by 17-9 score, to get a quick stop on the Yellow Jackets here and get the ball back with a chance. We mentioned that Ryan Dunham had hurt his wrist earlier, and we're trying to pick up now to see, and it looks like it is Cedric Johnson that's quarterbacking right now for the Yellow Jackets, a 5'9 sophomore. He takes the snap. He fakes the handoff to Davis. He keeps it left side. He's got some space, 35, 40, and he's drugged down, I should say, just prior to the 40. And there you go. Cedric Johnson showed what kind of speed he's got.
And that was a nice fake.
I think the whole world thought E.J. Davis had that one. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, Cedric Johnson has the football, and he's running the opposite way, and Fairborn had to track him down. But not before he moves the chains with another first down. Very important for Sydney to put together a nice drive here and take some more time off the clock. 7:50 left in the game. 17-9, Yellow Jackets lead the Skyhawks. Snap. Comes back, and I think it is still Cedric out there.
It was.
Cedric Johnson, he hands the ball off. It's a nice run by the Yellow Jackets. E.J. Davis, it's a first down run across midfield, and the Jackets keep the drive alive. First down and 10, Sydney now at the Fairborn 49, 7:41 left to play. Jackets lead 17-9. And I believe, Mike, you will start seeing Sydney take their time on this drive. Every play will probably take the play clock right down as far as you can and use up some of this clock. No reason with an 8-point lead right here to get in any hurry. Jackets line up. Cedric Johnson's in the shotgun. Davis is in the I formation. And it's Quinn Brown in motion. And here's the handoff. Davis left side, and he might have got two on the play. But Sydney now content to run the football, which means run the clock. 17-9 our score. Jackets lead, 7:25 and counting left in the ballgame. If you missed it earlier on the last possession by the Jackets, Ryan Dunham was sacked on a play and came out with a wrist injury. Cedric Johnson, the sophomore, has taken over at quarterback. Sydney now looking like pass. Brown is out as one trip and Darren Taborn another. Here's the snap. The ball goes to Davis. He runs inside the 45 down to the 40. And yes, you're right, Mike. It's going to be just enough for another Yellow Jacket first down. The officials say move the chains. And the drive continues to stay alive for the Jackets. Ball now rests at the Fairborn 38-yard line. First down and 10, Sydney from the 38. 6:45 to play in the game. Jackets lead 17-9. I want to thank Wells Brothers, Inc. in Anna on Shuey Drive for being a underwriting sponsor here on scoresbroadcast.com. Wells Brothers of Anna. Jackets look like pass. I'll be surprised, though, if they do. They show pass, but they run the football. It's Davis again, left side, and he's still trying to trudge for yards. He's got about half of the Skyhawk defenders on his back, but he carried him for an extra yard. Inside the 35, it goes. Second and 6 now for the Yellow Jackets.
I think he had the Fairborn team, and he still made 3 yards.
He still made 3 yards. 6 minutes now, and the clock's still moving. Jackets driving the football, now in Fairborn territory at the Skyhawk 35. 5:50 to play, 17-9, Jackets lead. Three wideouts this time, near side, one to the left. Sydney definitely showing pass here, but probably still going to run. It's Davis, left side. He gets around the corner. He's able to turn upfield a little ways before being brought down finally on the play by Gage Carter. But again, very close to another first down. A nice run on second down by Davis. He gets down to the 29, third and one for the Yellow Jackets, and the clock continues to move. 5:15 and counting. 17-9 Jackets. Ball on the Fairborn 29.
I think a first down here is a really good friend to you right now with the clock running.
Yes, sir, but I do believe where the Jackets are, this is definitely four down territory. If they have to use two downs to get a first, they will. And prior to the snap, Fairborn calls a timeout. We'll take one with them. 4:59 left to play in this ballgame. The Jackets on the move and leading 17-9 here on ScoresBroadcast.com.
Brookins in Fort Loramie is well known for its juicy roasted chicken dinners, plus many savory sandwiches and cheesy and meaty homemade pizza. The special on Saturday nights features not one, but two delicious 8-ounce marinated pork chops.
New owner Carl Arnes creates a fun, family-friendly atmosphere. Brookins is perfect for birthdays, anniversaries, and more. The banquet room seats up to 60.
You can also enjoy the new late-night menu, open till 2:30 in the morning, Thursday through Saturday.
You can't beat Brookins at 10 Elm Street in Fort Loramie.
Brookins, B-R-U-C-K-E-N-S pub.com. Regal Trophy and Awards in Sydney has a corner on the market, and for a couple of very good reasons, quality and reliability. You see, for a long time, businesses throughout the region have counted on Regal for custom nameplates, badges, signs, and various industrial engraving.
Wayne Trail has partnered with Regal Trophy and Awards for many years. They have given us a quality product, always at a reasonable price, and completed our projects in a timely fashion. They've been a great vendor to work with, and we're more than pleased with everything they do for us.
Need trophies, plaques, and awards? Many colleges and schools, including Sydney High School, have preferred Regal forever.
When I think Regal Trophy, the first thing that comes to mind is the Wurman family. They take pride in every trophy that's produced. Regal Trophy and Awards has been in their family forever. Sydney Athletics, they've been our only vendor for 30-plus years, and I know at every event that they're a part of, our student-athletes are going to leave with an award that is befitting the efforts they've put forward.
Put a big smile on everyone's face with Regal Trophy and Awards. 1269 Wapak in Sydney at regaltrophyawards.com. Regal for the crowning touch.
Back to action, a handoff to Davis, and he is slung down for a loss of 8 in the backfield, and it's Jackson Coolman who broke through and stopped Davis, but it looks like Dungis is going to go for it. Cedric Dunston back to pass. Pass over the middle intended for Darren Taborn, and he led him too far, and Fairborn takes over on downs at the 37-yard line, trailing Sydney 17-9 with 4:09 left to play.
I don't think Fairborn was expecting a pass on that play because he was wide open.
He was wide open, but the pass from Cedric Johnson, who's in for Ryan Dunham, who has a wrist injury that we assume, led the receiver a little too far, and on fourth down, the Jackets turned the ball over on downs. The important part here, Fairborn is down 8. So if they do put together a touchdown, they'll have to have a two-point conversion just for the tie. Man in motion. Here's a handoff. It's Warner in the backfield, and he gets about 3 on the play. Hunter Warner with a nice carry, first down carry. They're going to say he picked up 4, across the 40 to the 41. Time now becomes a factor, and also Fairborn, Mike, only has one timeout. 3:49 to play and counting. Fairborn with the ball. Second and 6 from their 41, trailing Sydney 17-9.
Sydney defense has played well tonight.
Seacrest under center. Here's a handoff on the play, and with some yardage to run is Cameron Hamilton. He turns the corner on the right side, gets the first down and up near midfield about to the 48-yard line. Call it first and 10 Fairborn from their own 48 as they keep the drive alive. 3:33 to go in the game. 17-9, Sydney leads by 8. Fairborn moving the football with one timeout left. The clock is stopped, though, as they were able to get out of bounds. Hamilton in motion, and that's who gets the football. He runs right side again, turns the corner, gets up to the 45 of the Yellow Jackets, and he's ran out of bounds right there. And again, Fairborn doing a nice job to pick up a little bit of yards and stop the clock. Actually, Mike, they called him out of bounds at the 47, so we're going to call it second down and five for Fairborn from the Jacket 47. 3:29 left on the clock. See Crest under center. Here's a handoff Warner. Right side, he breaks through the initial surge of the Jacket defenders, and he gets down to the 40, and it's enough for another Fairborn first down. Skyhawks are not giving up on this game. 3:23, and the clock moving. Ball now rests at the Yellow Jacket, 39. 17-9, Jackets up by 8. Fairborn needs a touchdown and a two-point conversion to tie. Seacrest, he's up under center this time. Man in motion. It's a handoff. Warner, and he's met in the backfield immediately by Yellow Jacket defender Keenan Johnson. Warner did slip away from him, but he was able to go nowhere as he fell to the ground. Keenan Johnson with a huge defensive play right there on first down.
And I think that slowed him down enough that maybe there was some reinforcements that came into it.
Exactly what happened. Keenan Johnson might have just made the defensive play of the quarter right there on Hunter Warner. I formation. It's Warner again with the handoff. And he trudges down to the Jacket 36, and it's going to be third down. Clock moving, 2:22 to play. Sydney leads 17-9. Third down and 7 now for the Skyhawks from the Sydney 36. The Jackets defense, who's done a nice job tonight, has to stand and pass one more test. Seacrest back to pass. He finds a receiver wide open, and he is nailed out of bounds and knocked out of bounds. Darren Taborn with lights out tackle, but the catch was made, and it's good for a first down. So, wow, what a nice pass by Seacrest. He found his receiver, hit him on the money. The catch was made, and as soon as he turned to go upfield, Taborn was right there to stop him and knock him out of bounds. It does stop the clock, though, with an even 2 minutes to play. Fairborn now with the ball at the Sydney 28. First and 10. Seacrest back to pass. He's looking left side. He's got a man open. It's caught, and it's Warner, and he gets by one man, and then he's brought down at the Jacket 20, but that's going to be good for 8 more yards. Call it a second and 2 for the Skyhawks from the Sydney 20. Clock at 1:42 and running. Fairborn trails the Jackets by 8, 17-9. Skyhawks need a touchdown and 2-point conversion to tie. Cameron Hamilton's in the backfield. He takes the handoff from Seacrest. He gets by one man. He turns upfield. He gets down inside the 15 to the 12-yard line, and that will move the chains again with a minute 25 to go. Cameron Hamilton with a nice run that time. The big 6-foot, 205-pound junior was able to turn upfield and get some positive yards. First down and 10 now. Fairborn from the Jacket 14. Shotgun back to pass to Seacrest. He's looking into the end zone. He looks, he fakes a pass. Nobody there, and he runs, and then he tries a shuffle pass at the last minute to an intended receiver, Hunter Warner, but the Jackets had it defended well, and he threw it out of bounds. Basically, he just had to throw it away. Smart play, though, by Seacrest to not take a sack and to not throw an interception. That does stop the clock with 1:07 left to go. Second and 10 for Fairborn from the Sydney 13. Sydney leads 17-9, an 8-point advantage with a minute 7 on the clock. And the Skyhawks still do have one timeout remaining. Fairborn in the huddle, the Sydney defenders with hands on hips. It looks like they're a little bit winded from this drive, but they need to stand strong right here in this last minute and 7 seconds. Seacrest has Hamilton in the backfield. He goes back to pass. Here's a pass wide open. It caught inside the 5 and down to the 2-yard line is Patrick Parrish, a 6'2", 160-pound junior, and that moves the chains, and I'm telling you, Mike, we are down to the 2-yard line, and the Jackets defenders have their backs to the wall.
Earlier we talked about calculated.
53 seconds and counting. Fairborn lines up at the jacket 2, first and goal, trailing Sydney by 8 at 17-9. Here's a handoff, and it's Hunter Warner, and he's in for the touchdown. Touchdown, Skyhawks. And 42.2 seconds left on the clock, and Fairborn has drawn within 2 points of the Yellow Jackets. Big 2-point conversion coming up here. Boy, Sydney, who has played superior defense all night long, gives up a long, sustained drive with a score at the end of it. Boy, and did Randy Kearns ever put together a nice drive on offense that time. His Skyhawks never panicked. They stayed calm. They ran the plays and executed very, very well. And this is going to be a huge, huge 2-point conversion attempt. Diversity and excellent both describe Wells Brothers, Inc. in Anno on Shuey Drive, just west of I-75 at Route 119 exit. From a humble start as an electrical contractor, Wells Brothers has grown to span numerous separate divisions. Wells Brothers is a household name among business and industry for industrial construction, industrial electrical work, industrial plumbing, industrial HVAC and materials flow solutions. Industries such as Dannon, Cargill, Kellogg's, and Emerson Climate Technologies have partnered with Wells Brothers. This major employer in Anna contributes to the quality of life in the Upper Miami Valley and West Central Ohio. On the web at wellsbrothers.com. Wells Brothers in Anna, which is the home of the Rockets and Top Flight Service from Wells Brothers Incorporated, a proud sponsor of scoresbroadcast.com. Well, here we are. Timeout was called by Fairborn to talk about this play. They're coming back. It's going to be a 2-point conversion. There's 42.2 seconds left on the clock. Sydney leads Fairborn 17-15. Fairborn needs this 2-point conversion to tie this game, and the Jacket crowd down below is making some noise. Here's the handoff. It's to Cameron Hamilton, and he gets in. He scores. He's good on the 2-point conversion, and we are tied at 17 apiece. Wow. What a drive by Fairborn to make a good comeback and then executed a 2-point conversion. And you know what's funny, Mike, is on the last touchdown drive by Fairborn, it was 17-9, and instead of kicking and going for the 1 point, they went for two and failed. So on this drive, they had no choice but to go for two to tie the game. And it was a handoff to Cameron Hamilton up the middle. He went 2 yards across the goal line. The 2-point conversion's good. And with 35.7 seconds left, we're tied at 17 apiece.
So now do you kick yourself for not taking the one?
Good point. But then again, you know, you probably would have kicked again right here just to keep it tied, unless you really gutsy and would have went for two for the win. But game's not over. 42.2 seconds to go, and Sydney does have all three timeouts left. Note, though, that on the last possession that the Yellow Jackets were out there, Ryan Dunham was on the sideline with a wrist injury. It's sophomore Cedric Johnson that's calling the quarterback plays for the Yellow Jackets. My guess is on this kickoff here, Mike, that Fairborn will probably try to kick it away from anybody that would be a threat to return the football, like Quamir Brown or E.J. Davis or Lathan Jones. Any one of those are dangerous return men for the Yellow Jackets. Back to kick the football is Patrick Parrish. It's in the air, and it's a short kick. It's caught up by the 23-yard line. Sydney with a return to the 30, to the 34, and out of bounds there. So the Jackets are going to have the ball first and 10 from their own 34 with 38 seconds left and all three timeouts remaining. We're tied at 17 apiece, Sydney and Fairborn. Exciting high school football action here on scoresbroadcast.com. Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S. We are your Shelby County online radio entertainment system. We'll see how Coach Adam Dundas decides to play this. Will he be aggressive and try to put together a drive here in 38 seconds to go for the win, or will he be conservative and see what happens in overtime? He's got trips near side, one far side. Cedric is back to pass. He finds a short man. It's caught. It's E.J. Davis. He's across the 35, the 40, to the 43, and he's brought down right there. And Sydney's going to have to call a timeout to stop the clock with 28.9 seconds to go. Jackets will be second and two from their own 42 with 28.9 remaining. 17-17 is our score. I'd like to remind you that Goffney Furniture and Mattress Store in Sydney is holding its 77th anniversary sale. 72 months of no interest financing or 20% off for cash, check, or credit card. Goffney Furniture and Mattress Store on West Michigan Street in Sydney, just west of I-75. It's Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com. Well, Mike, exciting finish to this one. Fairborn has made this a game. 17-3 was the lead that the Jackets had, and Fairborn has scored 14 unanswered points. Sydney has the ball, second down and two from their own 42 with 28.9 seconds left in the ball game with a 17-17 tie. Interesting to see right here what Coach Adam Dungis decides to do. But with 28 seconds to go and two timeouts, you would think he might have something up his sleeve. Remember, it's sophomore Cedric Johnson at quarterbacking for the Jackets. Davis in the backfield. Quamir Brown and Jones are trips. Here's a snap to the shotgun. Pressure coming. He gets away. Johnson's going to have to run it across the 40, 45, 50 to the 48 and knocked out of bounds. And a nice stop on the play by Karen Brunette for the Skyhawks on the play.
And I think that was a direct snap to Davis.
The Yellow Jackets get across midfield to the Fairborn 48, but the good news is that they were able to get out of bounds and stop the clock. 17-17 tie, 21.8 seconds to go. Sydney first and 10 at the Fairborn 48 and two timeouts. Cedric Johnson in the shotgun.
Davis
right in the backfield. And the snap goes to Johnson. It's a pass, and it's caught. And then it's a ladder. It's a hook and lateral. Davis has it down to the 20, 15, 10, 5. He stretches across the goal line, and he scores! Oh, my goodness. The Yellow Jackets pull off a hook and ladder. Lateral play. Johnson hit Quamir Brown. He lateraled it to Davis, who scooted down the sidelines. Fairborn wasn't able to catch up with him until he got to the goal line. He dove across the goal line as a tackle was being made, stretched the football across the goal line. Sydney scores the touchdown with 9.5 seconds to go. The Jackets lead 23-17. I told you, Adam Dungis just probably had a trick up his sleeve.
Yes, he did. The cannons go off. 9.5 seconds left.
Wow, what an exciting play by the Jackets. On a hook and ladder lateral play. Pass to Quamir Brown. He lateraled it to E.J. Davis, and he flew down the near sideline. Looked like he might was going to get caught right before the end zone. Defender got to him, but it was just a hair too late as he stretched the ball across the goal line, scored the touchdown, and the Jackets take a 23-17 lead, and we have a timeout now before the Jackets attempt the extra point.
Wow.
Well, you talk about excitement. Bring me back up here for a game and just test my heart out right away. Hook and ladder play. What a nice play. Adam Dungis, boy, did he ever draw that up. Boy, he's making it tough on me now to pick a Clancy's player of the game. Yeah. We may have to give it to the coach after that. Yeah. 23-17, Sydney up by six with 9.5 seconds to go and an extra point coming. After a trick play, the Yellow Jackets put together a score of all scores.
That was flawless.
That was flawless. Regal. Sydney getting ready for the extra point attempt. Cedric Johnson's going to be the holder. Hallie Truesdale will attempt the very important extra point. Here's the snap. Back to Johnson, the hold. The kick, it's up, it's perfect. Truesdale puts it through the uprights, and the Jackets tack on the extra point and now lead 24-17.
Every single dish is deal after 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 deal
A margarita barbecue sandwich,
yeah.
A chicken cordon bleu sandwich, and my son had a cheeseburger, french fries, and applesauce.
How much did it cost? What'd you pay for a family four here at Morris?
We spend about $35.
A good deal.
And we come here about 6 or 7 times a month.
You just get more at Morris Landing, Route 362, Minster.
You know, Mike, when Kamir Brown lateraled that ball to E.J. Davis and he scooted down the sideline, I was sitting here believing, I can't believe what I just saw. What an amazing play by the Yellow Jackets, drawn up by Coach Adam Dungis. 9.5 seconds to go. Jackets kicking off now with a 24-17 lead. Here's the kickoff, and here's Hamilton with the ball. He quickly runs out of bounds at the 29 up to the 30, and basically Fairborn's going to have time for one Hail Mary play. 6.5 seconds on the clock. Sydney leads 24-17 in what has been, I would say, the most exciting game for the Yellow Jackets so far this year.
Oh, without a doubt.
Sydney came so close in the second half against St. Mary's. They put together a good offensive comeback against Bell Fountain, but came up short. It was a defensive struggle, but a win against Dayton Belmont. Two shutouts the last 2 weeks against Piqua and Xenia. And tonight, the offense puts up not only 24 points on the board, but an exciting offensive play to pull out the win right in the last seconds of this football game. Very much of a confidence builder for this 2019 Jacket squad. Here we go. Seacrest, back to pass. He hits Dwight Lewis, catches it, runs out of bounds, stops the clock with 2.8 seconds to go, and the ball's up to the 39-yard line.
I guess we were wrong. I guess they had one more
had
play.
Two more plays, but they got one left now. Ball at the Fairborn 39, second and one with 2.8 to go. Basically, Fairborn needs to draw up a 61-yard touchdown pass right here. Seacrest, back to pass. He's looking downfield. He lets it fly. Yellow Jackets have it defended well, and it's picked off, and that's going to be your ball game. The Sydney Yellow Jackets defenders were playing a prevent defense. That was Darren Taborn that was back. He jumped.
Oh, and we got a flag.
He skied as high as he could and hold everything, though. After the time went to zero, the flag came out on the field, and we'll have to wait and see what this is. But, gosh, you got to think that ended the game right there. But there's a flag down there at the 33-yard line. Boy, Seacrest went way back. He heaved it downfield about 40 yards. He got it down around the Jacket 20. Sydney had a prevent defense into place, several defenders playing back. Darren Taborn skied and made the interception. The intended receiver came down hard and was slow to get up. But then we saw the officials throw a flag down about the Sydney 32-yard line. So now we need to wait and see what this is all about. Apparently, this game may not be over yet. Really, really hard to tell.
I'm a little confused on
what happened.
Okay,
now they are lining up to shake hands. This game is officially over. Interception by Taborn. The game ends. The flag is picked up. Sydney wins it here tonight at home in exciting fashion, 24-17 over the Fairborn Skyhawks. And boy, I tell you what, It had been 9 years since I've been in this broadcast booth, Mike. I come up here to do this game, and you put my heart to the test. But, boy, what a great game. What a big game for Sydney to win. The Jackets needed a ball game like this. We mentioned the last 2 weeks how tough it was. Elementary night here at the stadium. The Sydney stands were full. It was great to see an excited, big crowd here supporting the Yellow Jackets. Sydney pulls off the win 24-7 tonight against the Fairborn Skyhawks. All right, we'll be back in just a moment with our Clancy Star of the Game as we have to sit here and try to decide who to give that to. Our Clancy Star of the Game coming up next here on scoresbroadcast.com.
Hot, delicious home-cooked meals are a hit at Clancy's Restaurant in Sydney. All-you-can-eat fish on Friday, chicken on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, I totally like the international cuisine at Clancy's. The first and third Wednesday of each month, we plan our schedules around it. I especially like the Greek and Chinese cuisine.
Nothing fancy at Clancy's, just fantastic food.
Without traveling to Dayton, I can enjoy authentic international cuisine right here in Sydney.
Teens fill their tummies at Clancy's, too.
Oh, the young crowd loves Clancy's. I always see them at after-school activities with the brown Clancy's to-go bags, and I just know they love them, and they love the sandwiches.
And what's your favorite sandwich at Clancy's?
Oh, definitely the topper. It's probably my favorite sandwich over all the Wendy's or Burger King sandwiches.
Eat in, drive up, order out. Clancy's, 1250 Wapak in Sydney. Phone ahead at 492-8820.
Clancy's is priced just right for the whole family.
Daily dinner specials under $7, complete breakfast under $4 at Clancy's.
Our star of the game, as always, presented by Clancy's Restaurant in Sydney. Nothing fancy, just fantastic food. And Mike, well, I tell you, I don't envy Chuck McBee, who has to decide who the Clancy's stars of the game are every week. But, boy, it's a tough one tonight. But I think we're going to give our Clancy star of the game tonight to a couple of different people. We're going to go with E.J. Davis, who came back from an injury this week and played a fantastic game. He got the game-winning touchdown on the hook and ladder play, stretched across the goal line, and scored. But we're also going to give the Clancy star of the game to Coach Adam Dungis because he drew it up.
Absolutely.
With just a few seconds to play, he pulled the trick right out of the hat. Sydney executed it perfect, and they pull out in the final seconds what is a much-needed win here at home tonight against the Fairborn Skyhawks. Thank you to Clancy's. Clancy's star of the game goes to E.J. Davis and Coach Adam Dungis. But I tell you what, Mike, the Sydney defense did an outstanding job holding Fairborn to just 3 points through three quarters of this game. But then the Skyhawks put together a couple of really nice drives in that fourth quarter, scored to make it 17-9, tried a two-point conversion, came up short, and then got the ball back, held on defense, put together another good drive. This time was forced to have to go for two, trailing 17-15, converted it. We were looking at a 17-17 tie, and I know probably 99% of the people in this stadium were thinking this game's probably going to overtime because we're only at 20-something seconds left.
But the coach had a different idea.
The only person that didn't, the 1%, was Coach Adam Dungis. He said, hold on a minute, I have a trick up my sleeve. And the Sydney Yellow Jackets, with Cedric Johnson, the sophomore in at quarterback for the injured Ryan Dunham, throws a pass to Brown. He does a lateral at about the 35-yard line to E.J. Davis, who flies down the near sideline, gets near the end zone, dives across the goal line for the game-winning score, and just made it. The Jackets pull off a 24-17 exciting win here tonight at home against the Fairborn Skyhawks. Wow, what a game, and congratulations to Coach Adam Dungis and the Sydney Yellow Jackets. Sydney now goes to 2-4 on the year. Fairborn, with the loss, also falls to 2-4.
And Mr. Bray, welcome back to Ohio.
Thank you, Mike. I just want to say thank you very much to each and every one out there who is been supportive over my health issues that I've dealt with over this past year, fought and beat cancer. And I just want to give God all the thanks and give God all the glory, because he led me to the right surgeons, to the right medical team, and has surrounded me with a lot of good people, both at my home in South Carolina and abroad here at from my hometown in Sydney, and so much support and so much cards, letters, emails, phone calls, texts, and I tell you, the outpouring of support is mind blowing. It makes you very, very proud of where you come from.
That, and I know that nobody can see you, but you look good.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Mike. It's just a testimony to how good God has been for me, and I just thank God and thank everyone so much. What an exciting game, though, to come back to, I tell you that. Make sure you join us next week from here at Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field. The Sydney Yellow Jackets homecoming night, and boy, they're going to have some momentum going into that game after tonight. Jack Kramer and Chuck McBee will be back with you to bring you Sydney and Troy next week from here at Sydney, and I want to say thank you so much to both Jack Kramer and Chuck McBee. They do such a great job, and thank you for allowing Mike and I to sit in tonight and bring this exciting contest to everyone on scoresbroadcast.com. We couldn't do it, though, without our sponsors, so we want to run down our sponsors, and we want to say thank you so much to American Architectural Glass in Fort Laramie, Barker Insurance on the north edge of Sydney, south of Anna on 25A, Lacal Equipment in Jackson Center, a Scores founding partner, U.S. Bank with 29 branch locations in its Western Ohio district, Wilson Health Sports Medicine in Sydney, and the Sydney Daily News with the best sports coverage around. Also, a big thank you to these additional underwriting sponsors, Brookins in Fort Laramie. There's no good eating place quite like it. Custom Foam Products in Fort Laramie, a world-class supplier. Clancy's in Sydney, nothing fancy, just fantastic food. Also, thank you to Dickman Electrical and Supply, located in Sydney, Salina, Greenville, and Marysville. Frisch's in Troy, Tip City in Sydney. Frisch's, what's your favorite thing? John Hemp Imagery in Sydney. John always gives you his best shot. Also, thank you to the In-Between, just south of Botkins, where the food is not in-between, it's out of this world. The Shelby County Veteran Services Commission, Vets Helping Vets. Get connected to your benefits. Call Chris North at 937-498-7282 or go to facebook.com/ShelbyCOVSO. Also, thank you to Maury's Landing Restaurant on Route 362 in Minster, across from Lake Laramie. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner, it's Maury's. Regal Trophy and Awards in Sydney on Wapak Avenue at RegalTrophyAwards.com. Regal for the crowning touch. Also, a big thank you to Dan Eilerman Construction in Fort Laramie. The Eilerman team of Mark, Scott, and Nick continue their father's legacy of quality craftsmanship. Also, a big thank you to these Rushi sponsors, the Francis Schulte Company and Superior Aluminum. Thank you, Francis Schulte and Superior, plus the Jewelry Barn in Rushi. Let's make your gift ideas come to life at the Jewelry Barn, the gem of Rushi. In addition, in Anna, we want to thank Wells Brothers, Inc., which includes 8 growing divisions. These sponsors are online with us all season long during scoresbroadcast.com of coverage of Fort Laramie games. Thank you to Geyer's Dodge, Chrysler Jeep Ram, customer service with a smile since 1922. Also, thank you to M&A Muffler and Tires, a tire sale that you'll never get tired of. And by Tom and Jerry's Plumbing, Electric, Heating, and Air Conditioning, place your confidence in Mike Holdhouse and Tom Timmerman. You can find them on the web at TomJerry's.com. Well, Mike, it has been a pleasure to get to work with you once again. Good to see you. Good to have you in the booth with me. Thank you, Jack Kramer, for all the hard work you did to get us prepared for this game. We could not have done this game without all the legwork that you did and put together for us. The coaches' interviews, the pre-games, all the notes and stats. You just continue to do the amazing job that you always do. And scoresbroadcast.com and the good folks of Shelby County in the Upper Miami Valley are blessed to have you and Chuck McBee as a part of this entity here at online sports broadcasting. Anyway, we want to remind you next Friday night, Scores will be here at Sydney High School, Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field, homecoming night. It'll be the Sydney Yellow Jackets taking on the Troy Trojans. You can catch all the action. Pregame 6:35, kickoff at 7 o'clock. Jack Kramer and Chuck Mobile have all the action for you. Sydney versus Troy right here at Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field. Once again, our final score tonight, a final time. Sydney wins it in exciting fashion in the closing seconds on a hook and ladder play by a final score of 24-17. Sydney beats Fairborn by 7, 24-17. Thank you to Jack Kramer, Chuck McBee, my on-site engineer, Mike Wick. I'm Jeff Bray, wishing you all a pleasant good night, everybody.
This is ScoresBroadcast.com. Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S. Your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System. We're the radio on your phone for high school sports.